morning, everybody. Matthew Bauer here with you on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up even later with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Jess Rains is behind the glass. She'll answer when you call that number. You can also text 312-981-7200. We'll answer there as well. Roger Badish is in the newsroom. Good morning, Mr. Badish.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
You know, you were just talking about the temperatures.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, the walk from the car, which is only a block or so, is freezing right now. And it's funny, I was just telling Jess, you know, a week or two ago, whatever it was, when we were really in the polar vortex, it was at least 30 to 40 degrees colder than this.
Right.
It doesn't, you, now you're out there, you forget that you were just in that, and it already feels...
And now you think this is still way too cold.
I'm walking freezing to death thinking, I shouldn't feel this cold. It was a lot worse not that long ago.
Right.
But all that's worn off already, and here we are back to just, you know...
Normal temperatures.
Negative six with the wind chill?
Yeah.
Is this a normal temperature? Is this even low for our norms?
Well, we're in February now.
Right.
February, typically the coldest month of the year in Chicago.
But is it around 0 degrees normally? It's probably
There are times during February,
of course,
when we get these very cold temperatures, and then they are offset by normal temperatures of about 30 degrees with wind chills, with a light wind, and so you're at about 25 or so.
So our norms are usually around 30?
Approximately, maybe 20 to 30 degrees.
Yeah.
You want me to look that up?
Give you
something exact?
So we're in a bit of a cold snap.
We're in a little cold snap, yeah.
Can't whine about it because we were just in the real cold snap.
Yeah, I mean...
I sound soft.
I mean, man up, will you?
I know. I was walking here thinking, though, God, I am done with this. Let's get to spring already.
You know what I get told? When this stuff really bothers you, and it's like, I don't remember it being this cold when I was a kid. Well, because you're old now.
That's the thing, is when we were kids, it was this cold, we didn't care.
No.
All you spend your time as an adult parent of, like, teenage kids doing at this time of year, you know what you spend your time doing?
Telling them to put on their jackets and take their scarf and put a hat on.
Losing your mind about making them wear their stupid coat.
Right.
Jack was heading to work tonight.
Oh,
he's got a sweatshirt on.
We're
like, why do you have a sweatshirt on? Oh, because I'm like, you're wearing a coat too. I know. Well, I'll take off the sweatshirt in the car. You're going to take off the sweatshirt in the car. So you're going to take off your coat, and then you're going to take off the sweatshirt, and then you're going to walk into work now. And I'm just like losing my mind on him. Like, and they just walk out, and they're just, doesn't affect them. And I know that, like, I ought to just chill out and kind of let it go. But at the same time, your parents are like, if your car breaks down and you don't have a coat, you're going to die out there.
Right.
Just take that coat and take some gloves and a hat.
Even though
I was the same kid who did the same thing. And my mom wanted to kill me all the time.
And that's never going to end. You're going to do it now with your grandkids, too.
Will I?
Yes.
Or will he do it with the grandkids and I'll just laugh at him? That's what I'm hoping
for. He'll think about doing it and you'll beat him to it.
My mom, and God bless you, Mom, if you're listening, she really enjoys when I have to lose my mind with my kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I put her through the ringer.
Of course.
Still do. And so she really, like, she loves seeing me have to squirm with my kids.
Well, what goes through parents' minds when their kids give them so much grief? One little sentence. Wait till you have your own kids.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, but,
I mean, I'll bring that up once in a while, but normally I'm just
in a
boiling
rage. But she did that with
you. Now she
and
really
now she's laughing.
It. Yeah, oh yeah. She loves, loves.
You know what my mother used to say?
And I deserve it. I deserve every bit of it. I will.
When we were young, I'm a very lazy person physically. So, you know, if there's anything within range of my feet, I'm going to put my feet on it. I just stretch. I got horrible... posture. I'm always slouching in the chair. I'm always relaxed, you know. Always. I take the relaxation of Passover, and I make it all year long. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's
why on
biblical.
This night?
Sure.
Right. So my mother always used to say, "Wait till you get your own place. I'm coming over there and putting my feet on your table."
And I'm sure he said, I won't care.
Exactly. I said, come on over. She never did. She came over, but she never put her feet up on the table.
I think the kids like I have had this argument with the boys or Anna or Jack or somebody in the house because I take away the video games during the week. I unplug the PS4 on Sunday night, doesn't plug back in normally until Friday.
Okay.
And they like give me a hard time about that because everybody else is playing all week long. Oh, this is good. I'm like, well, when you have your own kids, you can just say, well, I'm going to let my kids play whenever they want.
Yeah.
And they'll really give me a hard time about that. So, so I guess I can't wait either until I can really, you know, give them that hard time.
Well, of course. And then just watch them just like tearing their hair out with their own kids. And you just sit there and you just chuckle to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll turn to you with that face that, Dad, please help. And you just sit there and go, you know, you put your palms up, you go,
yeah. Nothing is better for me right now because Tommy is at an age where he knows a lot, apparently.
Oh, of course.
And
he
likes to tell me what he knows.
Yeah.
So whenever he's wrong about something, I do a very dramatic pause to really let it soak in that I was right about things.
Uh-huh.
It's just necessary.
He's just not going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
That's okay.
No. Hey,
so we have a lot to talk about tonight. Trying to think what to go into. Right here. Okay. As long as we're speaking about the cold. So last week, I think I was telling you the saga of my son Jack's car.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jack, I'll very refresh this for you real quick for listeners. My son has John Williams' old car, his old Volvo. We bought it from John, I think, 2 years ago now.
Okay.
And it's been nothing but trouble. It's a real lemon.
Did you let John know that?
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's not bad. You know, it's a car with 100,000 miles, so things are going to go wrong.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And so that happens. And so there have been all sorts of little things here and there, whatever you expect.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, a couple of months ago, spilled hot chocolate in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Being the 17-year-old male that he is... I don't think it even got wiped up. I think the puddles just solidified eventually.
Yeah,
even
probably.
The parts he could see. I don't think he even just like ran a hand across it or anything. A few weeks later in the cold, cold weather, his car wouldn't go out of park when you first started it. It would be stuck there for upwards of 20, 30 minutes when it got really cold. And then it would go into gear. So I'm looking up online, you know, what could have happened. I didn't know. And it said... there were some articles about if you spill stuff near your gear shift, here's what could happen. And that's when I remembered, oh, God, he spilled something in there. Because I'd known about it because I'd seen the stains in there and yelled at him about it. Like, why don't you clean this up?
Right.
So I found videos about taking it apart and I had done a little bit and then cleaned it up and then it still wasn't working. So last weekend, Tommy and I dropped Jack at work at his job and then we had the car all day and it warmed up a little bit. Remember on Saturday,
right,
it was nice.
Right.
So had it in the garage, lights on. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take this console apart and get to it. There is a, I don't know if it's a solenoid or what it's called, some sort of thing that when you press down on the brake,
okay,
there's kind of a rod underneath the gear shift that releases so that you can put the car, take it out of park.
Right.
If that doesn't release, it's locked.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stuff I had read online said this is probably sticky, and apparently when it gets cold, that affects it, and it blah, blah, blah. So Tommy and I take the console of the Volvo S80 apart, and it's one of these weird consoles. We had to take all these things apart, and I was really proud of us. We're taking our time. We're doing all this stuff, making sure not to ruin, because like the radio comes off, like everything comes apart when you do this.
It was a big job.
It was a big job, and it took us a couple hours. We took our time, and you know, I'd done this a couple weeks ago, but I had only taken the little cover that's right around the gear shift off, because I wanted to do as minimal as possible of the taking apart, because that's where things can go wrong, right? And that didn't cure the problem. So now we're going to take the whole console apart, see if we can really get in there. We take this whole thing apart. I still can't find that damn thing. I don't know where it's at.
What?
Yeah.
Rod?
Like, that rod. It's, you know, this isn't set up. It's not the same car as I saw online. It was another Volvo, and it just wasn't in the place. But I'm taking a screwdriver, and it is recommended by a foaming window cleaner.
Right.
And spray that on there and clean it up, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So I had a big, long screwdriver. I'm taping Q-tips to the end. I'm spraying it on there, and I'm reaching down there trying to clean everything I can.
Right.
And as long as I had a part, I decided I'm really taking my time. I'm not just going to rush through this because I never want to have to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally, it was about an hour in, Tommy had gone back inside to play video games because, you know, it had gotten boring.
Well, it was the weekend, so he could you plugged him in.
He needed to take have his time, too, to be a kid. But I finally find it.
Ooh.
I like hit the brake and I see it move. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the piece. So excited. So then I'm cleaning that like crazy as best I can, getting this in there. And eventually Tommy comes back out. We put it all back together. And I'm just proud as a peach. I did this. I took it apart. We found the thing, scrubbed that sucker. Man, this is going to be great. And we put it all back together. Radio works. Heaters work. Everything works. Start that car up right into gear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, oh.
Nice.
For the next few days, while it was warm out, just now, today. Go start Jack's car for him early in the morning because it's really cold out.
Doesn't go any good. No.
All that.
I was like, no!
How clean do you think you got it?
Well, you couldn't get around all sides of it. It's there's like a stack on there. There's like the gear shift and then all this stuff stacked. And just on the edge by the driver, you could see it like underneath there and you could see it move. But I couldn't get like to the passenger side of it, say, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
I got as best I could all over that thing.
So there's still some gunk.
I don't know what
there.
The hell's going on. Maybe there's another problem for all I know. It only took a couple minutes, and then it got in gear. It's not like when it was really cold out, and it was cold last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it was really cold out during the vortex, it took us once 40 minutes to get the thing into gear.
Yike.
So this just took a second or two, so it wasn't a big deal, but it was very frustrating.
Well, I can imagine.
But then to top it off, when I go to get in his car today, the driver door won't open.
Oh, no.
And
frozen?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? Well, maybe this damn thing's frozen. Back door opens up. I go around to the passenger door. That opens right up.
Mm-hmm.
And I lean across to open up the door, and it opens right up from the inside. So to me, that says not frozen. It says problem with door handle.
Could be.
So it's just like, man, you got to love a used car where it's one thing after another.
We're going through that now with David. He uses Bridget's car a lot, but he really wants his own car.
Wouldn't.
And he's been trying to save up his money, and because he's still living with us.
Sure.
And he's been trying to. I have taught him well. He has researched ad nauseum to the point where he is completely stressed out now about whether he should buy the car, which one he should get. He's looked up everything, up and down, left and right. And so then he found the car he wants, but now he doesn't have any time off from work for 2 weeks. So he can't find time to go out and, test drive it and bring it to a mechanic and this and that. Oh, it's so we're going through it with him of getting a used car. And it is frustrating trying to find a used car. Do you trust the dealer? Do you trust the Carfax?
The Carfax.
Carfax report.
There's a million different ways to look at it. But in the end, somebody else owned this car. You have no idea what the hell they did with it.
Exactly.
It could look fine to me because somebody was giving me a hard time. Like, well, did you tell John you're having all these problems? I said, it's a year later.
Yeah, right.
And the car's
right.
10 years old. What's he going to say?
Yeah.
It's not like the door was sticking a year ago when he had it and he, sold it to me saying, well, hopefully he doesn't notice. And then a year later, I notice it. I mean, mm-hmm. These things are going to fall apart. Things are going to happen. John didn't spill the hot chocolate in the car, The funny thing is, so then Tommy and I, so as long as I get this whole thing apart, I'm cleaning the snot out of this car.
Right.
And in the cup holders that John has right there in the console, there was, I don't know what happened. It's, like an old car. There's all these things that start, things happen over the years.
Sure.
There's a hole in the cup holder. And it must have
Isn't there supposed to be?
Well, I mean.
Like right in the middle of it?
No, there's room for two cups.
Okay.
And then, in the middle of the floor of that cup holder, there's a hole that's open. And it must have used to have a plug in it or something. I don't even know why it's there. I guess because there's a bolt down there that they must have to get at.
Okay.
But it must have been covered, but now it's not covered.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like coins. And so I'm using needle-nose pliers and I'm pulling out whatever's in there. And I found like tokens. I don't know if they're for Chuck E. Cheese or like batting cages or what.
Oh, my God. It was a big hole.
Yeah, it was deep.
Oh, my
gosh. Like, it was like a roll of quarters deep. Oh, in fact, Tommy and I were trying to figure out what to plug it up with. Tommy put a D battery in there that fit really well. I'm like, we're not leaving a D battery in there. So we got that back out, and we cleaned it all out. But we were trying to find what could we fit in here, and we're looking around the garage for what weird little things do we have. We'll find a Super Ball. Nope, that won't jam in there. And so finally, we just kind of taped it shut, and then I found in the garage, I have no idea how many years ago I bought this, but I had a packet of sort of like felt like you would put underneath chairs for a hardwood floor to
protect. Yeah, I know. And it's a sticky back.
Yes.
I know. I've got a whole bunch at home.
But it was a big square of it, like a rectangle, like 2 inches by
and
4 inches.
And you cut what you need.
So I cut like these little circles,
mm-hmm.
or not, sort of like a figure eight, to fit perfectly in there. So we taped that hole shut and then put that in there.
Nice.
And so now that's, we'll see how long that lasts.
Well.
But we did that. And then I found a ring underneath one of the seats.
A wedding ring?
Not a wedding ring. A weird decorative ring. It's sort of like had some flowers that were embossed in it on the side, and it was you know, it was a very kind of funky ring because it was it wasn't a
Did
perfect
it look
circle.
Expensive?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It looked sort of medieval. It was like, instead of being a perfect circle that's all melded together, it was like bent together. You know what I mean? Like,
The circles, homemade. Kind of homemade.
Yeah, kind of like that. Right. Like somebody would have made it in a class.
Well, do you think that John...
I texted John. I said, hey, is this anybody's? He said, well, it could have been one of the boys with a girl in high school, but no, it's not ours.
Huh.
So...
I thought maybe when you said medieval, I was thinking, well, maybe they went up to the... To the fest of that fair.
The Renaissance fair.
Maybe. And maybe John got
maybe
his wife a ring.
Maybe he's not admitting it. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. So that was an adventure, to say the least.
What do we got going on in the show here, buddy?
Well, we've got our good buddy Michael Heidemann, producer extraordinaire here at WGN Radio, is out at the Grammys.
Yeah.
He's going to check it. So, Jess, is he out recording Sound Sessions podcasts with people out there? Is that what he is doing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that very explanative answer.
Well, you are going to talk to him in a half hour.
Yeah,
so.
We're talking to him at 2 a.m.
Yeah, you can talk to him. You can ask him then.
Well, what if he says no? And then what, we just end it? Okay, yeah, let's check it in with you. No, I'm just out here. Then at 4 o'clock, Marcia Sirota, or is it Marcia? We got to get that right before she gets on the phone. She was out with us a couple months ago. What did she talk about a couple of months ago when she was out with us, Jess? You have no clue. But she is going to tell us, Jess says, she's going to tell us why we shouldn't be
afraid
romantic.
Of the dark? Oh, is this a Valentine's Day thing?
What did she talk to us about last time, Jess?
She originally joined us to talk about why you should not be nice, but be kind.
Yes, and I did love her. Yes,
what is
excellent.
I guess best personality payoff.
Yeah, we talked about the difference between being kind and being nice. And you always say, oh, they're so nice. But she said you should say they're so kind because nice is sort of like you're expecting things back, at least the way she explained it. It made sense at the time. I know it doesn't when you talk to her.
Okay. Right.
But it will. Glenn is called 312-981-7200. Good morning, Glenn. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing excellent. What's going on with you?
Not much. Trying to stay warm. So at least the wind has died down from yesterday. Oh, my God.
No,
I'm kidding. Friggin' bitter yesterday. I think it was worse yesterday than it was last week. I drive trucks, so it's like, oh, my God. Helpful hint. Little WD-40. On your latches, that might take care of some of that hot chocolate predicament you might have too. It'll cut it a little bit. Yeah,
that's interesting because I was afraid to use anything like that because, you know, I don't know. Are we always supposed to use that, or is it something like, well, you don't want to make something too loose? It wants, you know what I mean? Like that made me nervous about adding an added. I wanted to clean the stuff off, but I didn't know to add something.
Well, it's just WD-40. It'll lube it up. You don't have to use a lot. If you get it on something, it just wipes right off.
Yeah.
And, especially with the door, especially in the wintertime.
Oh,
you get
the door
and
the handle,
if you get the door open, then spray the latch and then work that a couple times. You don't need a lot of it, but, it helps. It works.
It's a good answer.
Stuff.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Thank you. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Drive safely. Skycap Dan texted us, I don't know why, and he sent us a picture of his 1987 Fiero. I think he's saying, Roger, that he'll help your son buy his car. Says, I'll do it. Oh, is that? No, that's somebody else wrote that. 312 says, I'll do it for him. Is he buying with cash? I've done this for many folks.
What is he selling?
No.
He doesn't say.
312 says he'll buy the car for your son. He'll help him out.
So
now he's saying hand him the cash and he'll take care of it. So I don't know. I don't know how that exactly works.
Let me think about it. I'll get back to you.
What is the Latin saying for buyer beware?
Buyer beware.
No, I thought there's a phrase we use.
There is, and I forgot.
It's not pluribus unum.
Caveat emptor.
Caveat emptor.
Something like that.
By the way, my son Jack is listening.
Jack.
On his way home from work, he says, listening to you on my way home, and my car went into gear perfectly on the way home tonight. Mm. Also, my door opened perfectly on the way home, too.
Hopefully not while he was driving.
Thank you, Jack, yes.
Yeah, do not text and drive.
You better not be. Guess who already got a ticket for that once?
Oh, he did?
Uh-oh.
He did. Yes, he did.
Tell him if he stays. Tell him if he does not text while he is driving, he can come have some of this popcorn from the game yesterday.
He is not coming down here.
You can bring it home.
1:20 in the morning. Bring home 2-day-old popcorn.
That's tell him to go home and sleep.
Yes.
Young guy needs to sleep. By the way, and I don't know if you were planning on bringing this up.
Okay, let's do this. That's a great tease. Uh-huh. I want you to bring that up right after the news because Jess is already yelling at me because I'm running late.
All right, go ahead.
Take a quick break. We're going to do the news. We've got lots more to talk about, including where Jess and I both happen to be this week. So we'll talk about that. It's very exciting. 312-981-7200. News is next on 720 WGN. This week on Chicago's Best, love is in the air. From romantic dinners to competitive games, the CB team is scoping out Chicago's best date night spots. Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV. Roger had a thought, but we had to take a quick break, and now we got to do the news, and then we'll get back to the musings of Mr. Badish after he gives you the headlines. 1:34 in the morning here on 720 WGN. Whether you're in a car or at home, thanks for staying up a little bit later with us, or getting up early if you're heading into work in the middle of the night, whatever the case is. We're happy to have you with us. And you can join the show at 312-981-7200. You could also shoot us a text as well. Roger Badish, before we got into the news there, you were starting to lead us into something, but then we had some commercials we had to play.
That's not, hey,
we led you astray there. What
nah,
were,
please.
What were you,
it's okay. So remember one of our conversations, a very heated conversation last week that
we had. A heated conversation.
Yes, we did.
Was it about pizza when you yelled at us about pizza? Yell at us about pizza.
Yeah, I did yell at you about pizza.
By the way, do you know what Friday was?
National Pizza Day. Yeah.
So guess what Jess is making us do?
Order pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
there was some from an earlier show.
There's a bunch in the fridge.
Yeah.
And there's like pasta.
And cannolis.
Oh, are there cannolis? I never got into cannolis.
Yeah, neither did I.
We have to get into that later, Steph. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I see Roger and one of our Twitter fans tweeting about this, and now Jess just said Steph will be mad. Was there a memo? Was there problems
yes,
here?
Yes, there was an email from one of our fearless leaders saying that if you didn't put it in the refrigerator, do not touch it.
Oh, boy.
Would you like me to read you the full email?
Well, so now we got eight things going at once. So let's get back to that in a little bit because you
had something
else.
Well, that's what I was
going
to bring up.
This is what you're going to bring up.
Yeah.
By the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then it works.
Yeah.
By the way, so just in a quick addendum.
Yeah.
I know that we got a new anti-pizza stance here, and we've ordered it once since we put in the ban.
Well, it's not anti-pizza. It's just that I'm trying really hard.
I know.
Not to.
But just one piece of. One piece satisfies.
But I'm stuffed right now.
Okay,
because I had a late dinner at home.
Then you could wait till 4 a.m. and have a pizza.
Yeah, I could.
Or get a microwave.
Yeah, 5 a.m.
But I do feel somewhat. Yeah, this is my excuse I'm going to make now. Adam Phillips, our new engineer. Remember Aubrey Mumpower,
yep.
Who worked here for 32 years and retired. We had a nice going away conversation with him. He told us some old stories. So Adam takes his shift.
Right.
And I'm sure Adam comes in and he probably says to Aubrey, Aubrey's like, well, there's pizza every weekend, so you got that.
Yes.
And then there hasn't been pizza since Adam's been here. And I'm sure Adam was walking around kind of pissed off, quite honestly. Like, I'm up in the middle of the night, people said there'd be pizza, and there's no pizza. And every week, Steph sees him and goes, why aren't you ordering pizza? And he's upset about it. So tonight, we'll order pizza and share with
him. Yes.
Adam.
Yeah. He just walked in here with a smile on his face and a plate in his hand.
Ready to go?
He's ready.
He's got like the napkin already tucked into his shirt.
He's ready to go.
Sitting at the table with the knife and the fork.
He's ready to go.
Pizza, pizza. All right. So what happened with the?
All right. So let me go ahead and.
Have you gotten the okay from Steph for reading our staff emails on the air?
Well, I no.
She is very sweet and forgiving, though.
It is titled Refrigerator Etiquette.
Oh, boy.
And she let everyone know that they are communal spaces. The refrigerator is a communal space, but the items inside are not.
Ah, that's a good point. Okay.
God, okay.
Was it something I did? Is there something?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's something that happened during the week that we don't know about.
Okay.
But you and I were on the cutting edge. Talking about this last week.
We were? I know you tweeted about that. I don't...
We did. We had a heated discussion about if
about the fridge?
About if anyone can take anything from the fridge if it doesn't have someone's name on it. We got into a very heated discussion, and people called up. It was pretty hot and heavy there for a while. And so then this email came out, and
Roger.
The first thing I thought was, ha-ha, we were way ahead of the game. And then I heard from, I think, one of our, the same person that you talked about who tweets out a lot,
right,
that's a faithful listener, who will probably now tweet out that I was talking about her. But she tweeted out earlier that after the email came out, John Williams started talking about the email.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
about, you know, if it's communal or right, private or whatever. So, you know, and apparently he mentioned you, but I'm not sure in what context.
Okay, so one of us has a real problem here.
Why?
I don't remember us having that conversation at all. I'm pretty sure it wasn't us.
It was us.
You're sure?
Positive. I
just
got very
doesn't
upset
remember
about
it either.
Because I mentioned how I
sure
had brought
with,
something
with,
earlier.
You sure it wasn't with Dave Plyer?
No, it was you and me.
You sure?
Positive. Dave Plyer and I don't, he doesn't talk about, Jess, you need to pull it up.
What, give us a time range so she can check the
podcast.
Oh,
I don't know.
Roger.
I don't watch the clock in here. So when you say do the news, I do the news.
I don't think we had this conversation.
We did. It was either last week or the week before.
I would remember if it was heated, wouldn't I?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to hurt you. Hold on a second.
This
is a week ago. I've got to, you know what? Hold on a second.
One of us is losing our marbles. I don't want it to be me.
It's you. Oh, Jess, God, back me up on this.
If you guys pull this up and there's like this whole huge thing that we had, I'm really going to start worrying about myself.
Why is that? Oh, my God, I hate this thing. All right. Let's see here. We want to do shows, right?
We're not going to sit here now. Listen to the whole last
show. No, we're not going to. I'm pulling it up. So here's your last show. So we talked about the train wreck, or the train wreck, the airplane.
I'm going to take a nap
right
while Roger plays our podcast.
Amelia Earhart.
Right.
Right.
That.
We had Sammy on talking about the Super Bowl bets.
Sam Panayotovich.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's Matt Bubala Full Show 2-2. Talked about my Disney fund.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about Jess's boyfriend leaving towels all over the place.
Jess, call that texter. See if they'll pick up and see if they'll go on with us. They say Roger's correct. I need some. Somebody's got to explain to me what we were talking
talked about.
Talked
about Buddy Holly.
Right.
Matt's cleaning the car.
Yeah.
The dirty car.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't put anything in here about the kitchen talk.
Because it didn't happen.
But I did. I put something on my... man, you're going to kill me on this. See, it's taking me forever now to do this. Why do you do this to me?
Now.
I haven't fit. Leave
on,
this
Roger.
Page.
Roger, I have a breaking news update.
All right.
224 writes, I believe he had the discussion with Brian Noonan last weekend.
Was it with... All right, now I got to look up Brian Noonan.
You can hear
hold
the short circuiting going on.
Yeah. Well, it kind of just all flows together
it's
sometimes.
Again, you're working weird hours.
I know.
Relieved.
All right, Brian. Here's Brian. Support animals. Keep pipes from
847.
Is this last
Brian
week?
Noonan show?
It was. Doggone it. All right, I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Like, this isn't even the right show. 127.
This is another station I'm on. They don't even know about this one.
Where's his? Oh, there it is.
Okay, it's okay.
No, just
now
because
past,
now I'm
now
all upset.
Well, don't be upset. It's all right, Roger. You know what'll make you feel better?
Oh, here we go.
Nice slice of piping hot pizza in about an hour.
Airs his grievances about not finding communal maple syrup in either of the refrigerators in the office.
Oh, so 312 says someone outed Matt today for taking a Coke out of the fridge. So
what?
Now that's, well, remember?
That was probably John.
Well, sure, but you remember this? Because this is, I think you were already doing news for us, Raj. This is about 4 years ago, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the middle of the night at the tower.
Right. I think we've talked about this before, that Aubrey used to bring in, have a lot of little cans of Coke.
Well, I know Aubrey brings in Coke, but back at the tower, when I was down in the showcase and stuff, you know, there were vending machines in the commissary, whatever we had there.
Right, over the Tribune Tower. Right.
Yeah. And, but like some nights it would be closed or whatever, they wouldn't have it. And like, you know, in the middle of the night, I'd be dying for a Diet Coke.
Right.
and we had just a little fridge in the producer's little office, the part-time part-timer's office. There was a tiny little like college fridge. And Wendy would have Diet Cokes in there.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And I took a Diet Coke once, and I left her note, and I brought her like a 12-pack
right.
the next week to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had some fun with it, and she started like putting her cards on Diet Cokes and stuff like that. But I stole it, but I fessed up, and I brought more.
Right.
And I took some heat over it.
You took a lot of heat from what I remember.
I did, because it wasn't mine, but I didn't like get busted. I said, hey, I took this. I hope that's okay. And I brought her back a whole thing of it. I think Wendy and I are good. I don't think there's any lingering issues from that. Now, then again, I've never filled in for Bill Left, so maybe there's a lot of hatred.
I think so.
That could be.
Yeah.
But I tried to make it good. It's the middle of the night. It's tough sometimes. There's nothing open, and you're just dying.
Especially when, because I remember that lunchroom where they took the machines out.
They did. They had an honor system at the end.
Right, but
that?
Then I remember the honor system.
You just grab the middle of the night and you'd swipe your card.
Right, but I didn't have a card, and I'd always tried to put money in. The darn thing kept spitting my dollar back out.
I can imagine.
So I just threw it in the basket. I said, forget it. Here's my money. I'm hungry. Give me one of these stupid, silly chocolate bars. But they also, I wanted to get not soda at the time, but the stuff that's not soda wasn't in the machines. It was locked up in the cooler.
So you broke into the cooler?
No, I didn't break into the cooler.
That would have been a good story.
That
so I bust into the cooler and I ransacked the whole thing, but I left a note.
I left money in. No, so it was with Brian. I apologize.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It was with Brian, and we got into a heated discussion about it.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, so is that the whole email from Steph? It's just hey,
no. There's more. It just says, please do not take items that you did not put in there yourself.
Yeah.
And that was my side of the battle with Brian.
Brian was saying you should take anything you want.
Brian says if it doesn't have anyone's name on it,
you know
that everybody goes in there.
Ooh. So do you think Steph was responding to Brian, calling Brian out on this?
No. This had nothing to do with Brian.
Well, he's...
That was a week ago. This just came out Friday.
Right. Takes a while to filter around the station, take a gauge of how upset people are.
I don't think so. No.
And Steph was, stopping people from showing up with pitchforks on Brian's show this weekend saying, hey. I mean, that's the right rule, right? Steph's rule. If you didn't put it in there, you don't take it out.
Exactly. That was my contention.
Yeah. But Brian said, no, hell no. You don't put your name on it.
It's a public thing. It's open to everyone.
Wow.
You need to put your name on the stuff.
Wow.
I'm like,
well, some things are hard to put names on, depending on what you have it in,
Well, yeah, and some people do put their names on. I've never done it because I've always felt that, well, I'm the only one who put this in here. It's mine.
Yeah.
But in the past, it hasn't always been that way. Apparently.
Yeah, that's you really shouldn't be taking something because Brian Noonan throwing down there. That's a stance I didn't expect him to take. Put it in there.
He didn't put a name on it. It's fair game. To be public, so.
But you're not putting it there for people. Nobody's going in there putting their leftover pizza or their sack luncheon like, hey, this is for everybody. That's on a table. You put it in the fridge. You're keeping it cold so you could, Oh, all right. So 312 says, Brian was making fun of his producer because Cody had brought waffles to work and was upset because there wasn't any syrup in the fridge.
But he was assuming there would be syrup. Because there's mustard packets. There's ketchup packets, there's salt, there's pepper, the communal stuff. Okay. People get it in their bags with lunch.
So that stuff I would say is
communal. Right, and he thought, and there are, these little containers or little packet of syrup that comes with breakfasts that you buy, fast food. It's a separate packet with the syrup.
Right.
You buy pancakes, you buy French, it's not on the product already. You have to add it if you want it. So he thought there would be extra packets.
Sure.
A lot of people don't use
it. Before we really disparage Brian.
Right.
Was Brian saying anything is fair game in there, or was he just commenting on packets of mustard and things like that?
No, it evolved into whether the refrigerator was a communal entity.
So
where you can take stuff.
Discussion.
If it didn't have a name on it. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to admit I'm guilty of this now.
Other than the soft drinks?
I am.
Really?
I am. So
what did you take from the refrigerator?
Now I feel terrible.
Oh, confession time.
Now I feel bad.
Like, here we go.
Now, Steph has two young kids, and it's 1:49 in the morning, so there's no way in hell she's hearing this. So nobody alert her to the podcast this week.
Uh-oh.
Just last weekend, so maybe I'm the trouble.
It could be.
And I roped Steph into this, too, or Jess into this, too. She doesn't realize that, but
uh-oh.
I was down at the fridge. Because, like, tonight there's all this pizza in there.
Yeah.
And then somebody did put a note that there's pastas in the fridge, but there's pizza in boxes.
And see, now that was left out.
I think I'm swinging around to Brian's side because there's pizza in boxes.
But that,
and if I was hungry, I would just take that and heat it up because it doesn't look like it's safe for anybody.
It looks like,
hey, here's leftover food. We're shoving it in the fridge.
Did somebody put the pizzas in the fridge?
Somebody had to have. They didn't walk there themselves.
Well, no. I'm just saying because the last I saw, they were sitting out on the table.
There's nothing now on the table. There's a note that says there's pasta that was put in the fridge on Friday night. Enjoy.
Let me clear this up for you.
They don't mention the pizza, but the pizza's in there.
Because the pizza was separate from that. The pasta, the lasagna, and the cannolis were completely separate from earlier this afternoon. The pizza came tonight with Pete and Andrea during their show from Peace Pizza. They had the owner came in and brought two pizzas, and there were a few slices left of each.
So they put that in the fridge.
And so someone, when the show was over, someone took them and put them in the fridge.
So there's no note on that. So now Steph sent this email yelling at everybody, so now you'd be afraid to take what really is communal pizza out because you didn't put it in.
Well, but that note is there.
So they need to put a note on, well, the note's about the pasta.
Right.
And you said that separate.
Technically.
So what we need is a note about the pizza.
Well, then we'll add that to the pasta note. There is pasta, and then pencil in there, and pizza.
But now it looks like I just wrote "and pizza" so I could take a slice and say, but it said "and pizza." And they're going to be like, that's your handwriting. But so last weekend, Raj, I was starving because you wouldn't let us order pizza.
Don't put this on me.
I brought these lunch chocolate balls that I was all excited about, and mine was white chocolate, so I had to throw that away because Jess took the good one. Jess took the good dark chocolate one. Yeah.
And then I had a sugar high.
So then I'm looking at the fridge, and there's a piece of Tupperware in there that has a couple of cookies.
Oh, no. See, now Tupperware is off limits.
Well,
off limits.
All right. So
doesn't matter what's in it.
All right.
Tupperware is off limits.
But here's the thing. There was a piece of Tupperware that had like three cookies and like four little of those little brownies, those circle brownies, like the little bites that the kids get.
Oh, yeah.
So it really looked like this was leftover. It looked like the type of stuff that, you know, came to the station, was put out, and somebody put it in the fridge.
This looks like
that. Well, who is packing three cookies and four brownie bites?
Might I venture a guess? The mom of two kids?
So you think I stole Steph's daughter's sweets, and that's why she sent that scathing email?
I don't know.
Oh, God, I'm going to lose the show.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was her kids' snacks.
Maybe I caused this. Why would she bring in their snacks here? Why did she? You know what?
Because the kids
You know what? Here's the thing.
What?
They shouldn't be eating that. Steph, you know, if that's what you're doing, then I helped you out. Those girls don't need all that sugar.
Matt?
Yes?
You're deep in it right now, buddy.
I'm sorry, but if you're putting three cookies and four brownie bites in Tupperware, you're just asking people to take it.
Was it your Tupperware?
Well, no, it
was
my
it your
Tupperware.
Well, then you don't touch it.
I don't like these rules. God.
Wow, you're in trouble.
We have a new advertiser on Steve Dale's National Pet Show, and it's called Blink Cameras.
Oh.
And they're advertising with Steve because these are great.
Takes a lot of pictures.
It's an inexpensive little setup of these little battery-powered cameras. So it's like a little home security system.
Oh, okay.
And it works with Alexa, and you get an app on your phone that you can check in then on your house.
Okay.
So you can set up these cameras, and like, you know, they're advertising on Steve's show because it's great for somebody like Steve who travels a ton. He can check in on his pets all the time when they're home alone and just make sure they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to call the Blink people and say, hey.
Put it inside the refrigerator.
Hell yes. And you know what I'm going to do?
Right.
To get my revenge on Steph, I'm going to start planting stuff she likes in that fridge.
Oh, you are so
Steph
bad.
Is so into chocolate. She's into Starbucks. She's into all sorts of stuff. I'll get her.
Yeah.
I'm going to put little things in there, and then she's going to walk by there. She didn't think nobody's looking. She's going to take a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I got to confess something else now.
Oh, my God. Jess, I hope you are marking the tape
and
on this.
And this is all your fault, Roger, because you wouldn't let us order pizza last weekend.
Why are you putting this on me?
And this is, I'm going to get in trouble for this, too.
What?
Steph's office door was open last weekend, and she had open a big bag of M&Ms. And I went and I took some. Her door was open, and she's got M&Ms. What do you want me to do?
They're not in your office, are they?
I don't have an office.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, if she doesn't want me eating her M&Ms, she ought to get me an office for my 4 hours a week.
Dun, 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 dun,
listen,
dun, dun,
if you don't want people eating M&Ms, lock your door. Seal the bag up. The bag wasn't even sealed. They were getting stale. I helped her out.
The story you've just heard is true. Only the name was kept the same so that he gets in big trouble.
Well, it was good having the show while it lasted.
Yeah, it was.
Why did he get fired? He took M&M from the office and ate some brownie bites out of the fridge. Wow. He should be burned at the stake. The funny thing is, I went into this all anti-Brian Noonan, like, how could he, you know, support this? And here I am, like, the biggest thief of all.
You just confessed twice. Not once. And guess what? The statute of limitations has not run out.
Has or has not?
Has not run out.
Okay. Bill's on 720 WJ. Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, Matt, they had this big discussion yesterday afternoon. This afternoon,
yeah.
I got it on the John Williams show,
right?
About the refrigerator, the common refrigerator,
sure.
The rules and that.
Yeah.
And one of the, I think she's one of the, some woman, was she one of the women that's like a manager sent out an email?
Yes. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
About the refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's, I just happened to wake up and hear you talking about it, but they were having a big thing, and I called in yesterday and told the story on John Williams about this guy that he kept bringing his lunch in a brown bag. Where we worked, and everybody kept stealing it. He'd go to get his lunch, and his lunch was gone. And so one day he said, I'll fix him. So he took a medical plastic container and just dumped some brown stuff into it and set it in the bag with his food and said, specimen for Dr. So-and-so.
That's
no one ever touched his bag again.
That's pretty smart. That's the way around it. Thank you so much for calling in, Bill. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. 281 text. Matt, it was your show last week. I woke up at 2:35. You kept me awake for the next 2 hours because the show was so interesting. Oh, you're so sweet. I would not call it a heated discussion, but it was an extended discussion. You talked about the food and community fridges, your son's car, the Buddy Holly Waylon Jennings connection, and just his boyfriend leaving his house clothes, etc. on the floor. Am I crazy? You are just in that
as
part.
As crazy as I am.
We didn't do the community fridges, everything else you have right about the show last week.
Yeah, it was power of my suggestion.
But that reminds me, later in the show, we need to get back to Little Miss Jess and her
the towels?
Towel issues.
Oh.
Well, we need an update, don't we?
That's right. We need to know if she's confronted him.
That's right. We do.
I will save it for the end.
Yes, please save it for later in the show, because coming up next, we're going to do, coming up after Roger has news headlines from the Northwestern Memorial Community Newsroom. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I don't have the piece of paper in front of me. Jess, what am I supposed to be saying there? From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Roger has all the latest news from the Northwestern Medicine, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. After that, Michael Heidemann, our good buddy, is going to check in from L.A. We'll find out about what's going on at the Grammys this weekend. News is next, 720 WGN. Got a Sharpie, Roger.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to take the news.
Yeah.
I'm going to go write my name on every damn thing in that refrigerator. The packets of mustard, the ketchup, the salt, anything that's in there.
You know,
if somebody else's name is on it, scratching out with my Sharpie, I'm writing mine.
I've got a full stack of Post-it notes in here.
Oh, should I Post-it note everything?
Do a Post-it note on everything.
I'm just going to drive Steph so
insane. Do it. Do it.
And I love Steph to death. She's literally probably my favorite person in this building.
Yes.
But now I got to mess with her. Because now my own guilt is making me, instead of just feeling guilty that I did this, now I'm like seeking revenge because I don't even know if she
called you out without calling you out.
Yeah, when who even knows? It probably isn't even about me. I'm telling you, but nobody found that tub and said, who ate these things?
Well, first of all, you got to look to see if, well, wait, this was last week, right?
Yeah, I wonder if that tub's still in there, actually.
Well, you got to go look now.
As soon as I put my name on it. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. A couple minutes after 2 in the morning, here's your news, Mr. Battish. But what can I say? Hi, Pavala, with you on 720 WGN. It's 2:13 in the morning. We've got lots to do before we get out of here at 5. But right now, we want to check in out in L.A. It's our good buddy, executive producer here at WGN Radio, Michael Heidemann. Hey, Michael, how are you, bud?
Hey, Matt, great to hear from you. How's everything in Chicago? How's the weather down there?
Freaking cold, Michael. It is cold. I know you're used to that, but you've escaped it for now. What's the weather like in L.A.?
So today was 57, but I heard that we are only 50 degrees above you with a 7 wind chill. Is that right?
I think it's negative right now with the wind chill.
Yeah, minus 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's a little chill. But 50-something doesn't sound that great for L.A., really. I'm sure it felt good, but...
I still have my sweater on. I still have my coat. It's like I haven't even escaped Chicago at the moment.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, are you out there, Michael, more for fun for you, or are you recording sound sessions? Why are you in L.A. right now for the Grammys?
Yeah, so like I was telling, I spoke to John Williams earlier today, and thanks again for having me on the show here, Matt. I wanted to come to L.A. because it's been a mission of mine to get on the Grammys stage for a little bit. I've been on this 2-year-long process, almost a mission to get to the Grammy stage, and now I'm out here to do interviews, to focus on basically the biggest show of the year with the 61st annual Grammy Awards. But you know, you got to slide in a little bit of fun while you're in Los Angeles, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to get on the Grammy stage in any way, shape, or form, or you want to perform on it? Like, what's the goal?
Well, my mixtape didn't get picked up this year, which I'm kind of upset about. I sent it in. They denied it from the get-go. Basically, when I made the Grammy stage, I mean, I want to get on the red carpet. I wanted to experience what it was like to be a part of the Grammy scene at the moment. So, you know, coming out here and seeing all the fanfare has been amazing because they're setting up the Staples Center right now. My hotel is about 3 miles away from it, so I got to see a little bit of what they have going on. And just to experience it, I mean, any music fan loves just the fanfare of the Grammys, and that's why I'm here. It's just a cool experience.
Now, are you going to attend the show?
Yes, I am. I'll be in the audience and hopefully sitting right next to Dolly Parton.
Is that just a random hope, or is there some shot at that, or where does that come from?
Well, they're going to be doing a tribute concert tour this year, That's kind of one of the main reasons why I wanted to come out and check it out. But, I'll be in the audience. I don't know where I'll be sitting. It's all part of the experience. I haven't even picked up my ticket yet. I'm doing that tomorrow morning. And we'll see, you know, where I land as far as the seating arrangement goes. But, the show is happening on Sunday at 7 o'clock at night. And hopefully it'll be a really good time.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Did you get, like, press passes? Are you, like, officially there interviewing people and stuff like that?
So, I did send in my press credentials to the Grammy Awards. I've been a Grammy Award member. It's the Grammy Academy for the last 2 years. I've been trying. So, yeah, I'm not officially in the press corps at the moment, but we'll see what happens when I charm my way through tomorrow when I get my ticket.
All right. Well, that sounds cool. So tell me what you're looking forward to for the Grammys. Is there a performance that's going to happen on the show besides the Dolly Parton stuff? Is there anything that you're really excited about that we should be watching for?
Absolutely. This is the biggest Grammys of the year the entire time that the Grammys have existed, not even speaking hyperbolically, because they've extended the nominations from 5 artists to 8 this year to, you know, further reflect the amount of people that are getting nominated, to kind of expand into more artists. Not only that, the Ariana Grande, SZA, Shawn Mendes, J. Cole, Fall Out Boy, Cardi B, all on the docket to win maybe their first Grammy ever, which will be really awesome. And it's really interesting because on top of that, there's also a resurgence of these Grammy artists who kind of are overdue with accolades. Kendrick Lamar won the Best Rap Artist of the Year last year, but he was often overlooked for the Best Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. And now with him being nominated for Best Album of the Year with a Black Panther soundtrack, we'll see if he can actually take it home. But with eight members on the Album of the Year and Record of the Year slot, who knows what's going to happen. And on top of all of that, there's we even looked into the controversy that's happening with Kanye West, Taylor Swift, and Beyonce, and Ariana Grande skipping the Grammys entirely because they didn't get they got snubbed for Record of the Year. So there's so much stuff happening right now. I'm just looking forward to see what happens and any fireworks that happen within the show.
So wait, who is not coming at all? Who's snubbing the Grammys?
So, As you may or may not know, because I know you're a huge Kanye West fan, he put out a lot of independent tracks this year, produced a lot of his tracks out in Wyoming, and he was, even though he was nominated for some of the rap categories, is snubbing the Grammys because he wasn't nominated for Record of the Year. It's the same with Taylor Swift with her Reputation, which not only put out an amazing Netflix show, got snubbed for Record of the Year. And Ariana Grande, they didn't let her perform the songs that she wanted to perform, right. so she's stepping out of it as well. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think that, as most people say, it's just an honor to be nominated. So, we'll see what happens.
So, that is surprising, though, that Taylor Swift's album didn't get nominated for Album of the Year, right? Or is that not surprising?
Well, we'll see, because a lot of Album of the Year is counted upon the songwriting that happens within it, and Record of the Year is actually more so about the producers, the production, what's been going on with the year. That's why Cardi B is nominated for Record of the Year as opposed to Taylor Swift. So, I mean, it's heartbreaking because, in my opinion, I'm kind of a Taylor Swiftie fan, and I wish that she would have gotten up on the stage and gotten a few more accolades, but it's just not her year. You know, you can't win them all, I suppose.
Yeah. I have to admit, I know a lot of people hate Taylor Swift. I really like Taylor Swift, and I like her music. So I'm not ashamed to admit that. With Ariana Grande, we've all heard she's not going to perform. She had a spat with the Grammy people because she didn't get to perform what she wanted. Is she still attending the awards?
No, she's stumbling it entirely, in fact, which is, it's crazy because when you have one of the biggest years you've ever had, I mean, turn on the radio right now and you will hear an Ariana Grande song. She's snubbing it entirely. And it's almost saying, it's kind of like a slap in the face to the Grammy Awards, because there's a lot of greatness that can come from this time when you can be on air, when everyone in the entire world is going to be watching you. But, you know, she's taking a step back. It's been a crazy year for her. So it's kind of strange to see her do that.
Michael, I have a buddy who really looks, I've never gotten very much into the Grammy Awards because it's so all over, which is a great thing. If you watch it, you're going to get exposed to a lot of different types of music and musical tastes. For me, that's always been kind of it's so all over the place, so I've never gotten that into it. But I have a friend who loves it, says it's his favorite show because he feels all these musicians are really, the performers really have a lot at stake because they're performing in front of their peers, so they really want to do well, and they'll really put on their best possible performance. Do you love this as a show? Is it a good show, do you think?
I mean, Matt, can you think of what was your favorite Grammy performance of all time?
See, I don't have a favorite Grammy performance of all time. I can't. To me, a bigger thing to see is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions.
And
that might just be because I'm getting old now, Michael, and so the Grammys has sort of passed me by because it's a younger type of music that maybe I'm just not hearing as much of, you know, because for me, it was seeing like U2 at the Grammys or maybe Guns N' Roses or somebody like that back in the day when there was, but for me, and I'm way younger than you, Michael, but to me, I remember growing up, the American Music Awards used to be a huge deal, and I think I think that it was bigger, maybe sort of more popular than the Grammys back at the time, 20, 30 years ago. So I don't have this big affinity for the Grammys, and I don't remember some legendary performance that sticks with me.
You're dead on. I mean, I would much rather see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony when members of the Eagles all just play it too cool for school and then just give one word speeches, because that's so much more rock and roll than what the Grammys have become. Because it is a young man's game now. You look at the artists that are going to be performing this year, and some of the artists that are for Album of the Year. I mean, we have Drake with Scorpion, Kacey Musgraves, Golden Hour, Post Malone with Beer Bongs and Bentleys, Cardi B with Invasion of Privacy, Janelle Monáe with Dirty Computer. It's all people who are under 30, and it's hard to, you know, connect with an older audience when you're really putting out music that's just going right towards the youthful crowd. And on that note, the only memory that I think I have of the Grammys over the last 10 years is, do you remember when Adele performed and that microphone fell in the piano and nobody could hear her for like 5 minutes?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember that.
So I only have kind of silly or bad memories of the Grammys, but it'll be awesome this year because Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper are performing Shallow, and I think that song is going to be doing really good stuff. Childish Gambino, even though he's also snubbing it, This Is America is up for Record of the Year. I think that he did a great job this year with that. But I think that, quote me now, maybe I'll be wrong later, I think country is going to have a great time at the Grammys. I think that Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour is going to take a lot of the awards. Should it win? No. Will it win? Yes. I think that Kendrick Lamar should take home a lot of the Grammys, but I think that country will have a great night, especially since they're putting so much time into the Dolly Parton tribute. Mm-hmm. I think they're showing their hand a little bit with what they're doing with the night. So we'll see what happens.
So Sunday night at 7, is it on CBS?
Yes, on CBS.
On CBS, yeah. I thought they usually have the Grammys. Well, that'll be...
soon to be WGN Radio, though.
Soon to be WGN Radio.
Yeah.
All right, Michael. Well, have a great time at the Grammys. I hope you enjoy it. Have a safe flight back and soak up some sun while you're out there. Have a good time.
Hey, thanks, Ben. I know you have a lot of great memories in L.A., too, here. Any good spots I should check out while I'm out here?
You know, it's funny because it's so long ago, but, I mean, there used to be a great middle-of-the-night drunk fest place to go eat after people left the bars, but it closed down. I was out there a few years ago, but on Fairfax, Cantor's, of course, is a classic and legendary, and you got to eat there. There was a place up in Pacific Palisades right on the ocean. I can't remember the name of it, but a great little restaurant that overlooked the ocean. I mean, there's so much good stuff to do in LA. And what's great about it, Michael, and I'm excited for you to be out there because you're so into music and industry. Like when I lived out there, and this is over 20 years ago now, I wanted to be an actor, and the whole town is about the entertainment industry. So there's just this energy around all that that's really cool to be around. So just have fun and enjoy it, and you know, go walk around in Beverly Hills and on Rodeo Drive and in Century City, and you'll walk by famous people all the time. That's kind of wild.
It's one of the greatest places in the world to be besides Chicago, and I send nothing but love back to you, Jess, Roger, and the whole team back at WGN.
Sounds good. We'll see you back here soon, buddy.
All right, thanks, Matt.
All right, thank you, Michael Heidemann, executive producer extraordinaire here at WGN Radio. He is out at the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles.
Very cool.
Yeah, that is cool. He's going to have some fun.
You know what he should do?
He should perform in front of somebody.
Yeah, he should.
And then become famous.
Yeah. But he should also.
And then we'll be able to say, we knew Michael when he was an intern dressing up as a clown to scare the crap out of Kevin Richter in the old Tribune Tower.
A day that will live in infamy.
Something like that.
Yeah. But he should do, who was it who ran up on stage? Was it R. Kelly?
He's not going to do a Kanye West.
Or Kanye West?
No, God, that was the worst, Kanye.
Why not? Have him run up on stage and say, yo, what's up from Chicago? Chi-town.
Yes, you should call Michael and go ahead and explain to him. Here's what I think. Run on stage, grab the mic. Well, I don't know. Roger told me I should do this. I thought it would be okay. Oh, Roger. Roger.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break and the news. And then we need everybody's help. I've got an idea.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. It's terrible, but we've got an idea, and we've got pizza, and so we're going to brainstorm. We're going to come up with something together.
Okay.
We'll do that after the news next on 720 WGN.
Hmm?
As you reported the news earlier, the Bulls won last night.
Yeah.
What a stupid idea. They make this trade. They got better.
Yeah.
Now they're going to blow their chance at getting the Zion guy and actually becoming a good team again. The hell are they thinking?
Please.
No. No.
All right.
No. There.
You just want them to lose every game for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, 90% of them, yes.
All right, so they only won one.
I know, but they can't afford to. They're already only the fourth worst team. You need to really be one of the three worst teams to have a good shot at getting that number one pick.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute.
When they do the drawing. Right.
Because you're not, if you're the worst team in the league, you're not guaranteed the first pick.
No, nobody is. But, right. But the three worst teams, they change it. The three worst teams, I think, each have like a 14% chance.
So they get more,
and then
like cards the four, in the bin or
right,
something?
More to balls in the thing.
Oh.
And then the fourth place team only has like a, you know, 10% chance, and then it goes down, down, down to every team that didn't make the playoffs. So like the best team that didn't make the playoffs has a 1 in 200 chance of getting the number one pick.
Oh, okay.
But also, because of that, the Bulls, if they finish fourth, could pick as low as eighth. So, and there's a couple good players. They gotta just tank the hell out of the rest of the season. They have to. And then they still gotta hope for a good draw from
them. All right, if I was a basketball player, and I knew I was on a team that wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Would I just, like, not play? I mean, would I be that bad on purpose?
Well,
just
no.
So they're playing with their hearts out.
But they traded two players for a player like Jabari Parker. They weren't even playing, right?
Right.
They were just sitting.
Right.
So they trade him. Now they got a guy who's a decent, at least, player.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be out there contributing. They're going to end up winning some games and screw themselves. I'm just saying. All right. Great ideas. We need them. I'm going to tell you why after the news. Go ahead, Mr. Bass. I want you and you're beautiful. 2:42 in the morning on 720 WGN. 312 Roger says it's copacetic.
All right, now that I can look it up.
Going for the Roger Wrong hat trick tonight. This would be two.
Have I gotten two or one?
Well,
already?
One.
Oh, yeah, with the.
Was the Brian Noonan show that you thought you were on here.
Copacetic. Copacetic. Cetic. In excellent order. Copacetic. C-O-P-A, as in the Copa.
Right.
Down at the Copa.
Copacabana. The hottest spot north of Havana.
Okay. That hurt. And C-E-T-I-C. Copacetic. Excellent.
Yeah.
In excellent order. Copacetic. He said to tell you everything is copacetic.
And then you said back, why are you saying copacetic? It's copacetic. Well, that's weird. That's
I didn't say copacetic.
I know. I'm saying what I would say back.
Yeah, right.
Hey, it's all copacetic. I'd be like, dude.
Copacetic. I've been saying that.
Saying it wrong.
But
and his smile
right.
Told me that everything was copacetic. Very satisfactory.
He's lying.
Agreeable. All right. All right. Two spellings. Well, I thought there was only one.
Right.
Ducky.
Okay, fine. Okay. It's copacetic. You're fine. You win.
Hunky dory.
Moving along.
It's all Jake, dude.
I've got an idea.
Okay, I'm sitting down for this.
We've been trying to get the show to Mexico, Bubkiss. Been trying to get the show out to, to where? Where's our supper club in Wisconsin Dells that we want to go to? Ishnala.
Right.
Haven't gotten ourselves to Ishnala yet.
No.
Got an idea. I'm driving down Expressway. Maybe it was when Jack and I went to the Hawks game on Thursday night.
Okay.
By the way, thank you, Blackhawks. Jess was at the game, too. We didn't get to see each other. We didn't realize we were both at the game until afterwards. But went to the Hawks game, and they played. They took a 2-0 lead. Then they blew the lead. Then they took a lead. Then they blew the lead. And then they won in overtime on an awesome goal by Jonathan Toews.
Yeah.
Great highlight reel goal. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And six in a row for them. So, God, it's
amazing.
The crazy thing. You know,
yeah.
I grew up going to the old Chicago Stadium all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go all the time.
Yeah.
I went to hundreds of games. Loved it. When I was growing up, there were 21 teams in the NHL and 16 made the playoffs. So the Blackhawks made the playoffs like every year of my life till I was in my 20s.
Okay.
And now the NHL has 30-some teams. More teams don't make the playoffs. 19 teams, I think, don't make the playoffs. 16 do.
Okay.
So it's
so it's still the same six. It's still 16.
It's still 16, right. But now there's so many more teams in the league that most of the league does not make the playoffs. You've got to be good to make the right. playoffs. You used to be able to suck and still make the playoffs.
Okay.
Now you really got to be good. So it's a lot harder. And the Hawks, it's crazy looking at the standings. They're like 5 points or 3 points out of the playoffs, but there's right. like four teams ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're also like 3 points from having the worst record in the entire league.
It's crazy.
So we're arguing about, you know, the Bulls, how they should be taken, because there is this huge draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year when the Hawks were just playing terrible, I wanted them to just finish bad, get a good draft pick. You still got a lot of players in their prime, and hopefully you can rebuild quickly.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I'd love to see them back in the playoffs again.
It would be nice.
It would be nice. I mean, and they're playing really well.
That's they would make in the wild card, one of the two wild
yes,
cards.
Yes, yes.
If they could pick up enough
wild
points.
Wild card teams, yeah. Yeah, so but they got a lot of teams overcome, so it's not going to be easy.
Right.
But if they keep playing well, you never know what's going to happen. They got the Red Wings, who we don't get to see come to town much anymore, coming to town on Sunday. So mm-hmm. that'll be exciting. But so I'm driving to the Hawks game, and I see, you know, all the billboards are digital now, or at least a lot of them, right?
Right, right.
And this ad comes up, and it says, I think it said, you know, look it up online here. It said blip. And it said
what?
Something like
blip.
Yeah, blip. And it said like do your own billboard or something like that. And I'm like, oh, what the hell?
Oh, you could buy.
So this is
the
very
billboard.
Interesting. Well, and you know, you can. You call any of those companies. You can rent a billboard.
Sure.
I did this for Steve Dale for his show like 5 or 6 years ago mm-hmm. for a week. And you know, it's expensive, but it's not nearly as expensive as the traditional billboards because those had either a big vinyl banner or painted or put mm-hmm. up, you know, those that was very expensive because of the artwork. Now
sure.
with these digital ads, you know, you could create your own artwork, send it to them, pay the money, whatever. So it's more economical.
Mm-hmm.
Blip, it sounds like what they're like a middleman who go to these billboard companies and say, hey, do you have unused inventory?
I gotcha.
And
sure.
we'll fill it for you.
There are companies like that yeah. work for radio stations.
So if you have yeah. extra space, mm-hmm. we'll sell it for cheap and, you know,
sure.
take a percentage. And what's good is because, like, when I did Steve's billboards years ago, it was like it's going to run one or two times an hour for a week straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't say, well, he's on Saturday afternoons. I'd like, they're like, no, it runs in a rotation.
Right.
But with this company, you could kind of customize it. You pick your billboards, you set your budget, upload your artwork, and, you know, launch a campaign. And it says schedule which days and times your ads are eligible to be shown.
Okay.
So I'm going to run billboards for our show from 1 to 5 a.m.
No way.
Well, think about it. From 1 to 5 a.m.,
oh my God.
I don't think they're in insane demand, right?
Right.
Because
there's hardly anybody out on the roads going past that billboard. So
not as many,
it should
right?
be inexpensive.
So it'll be relatively cheaper.
Right.
So we've got to come up with some slogans
oh my God.
For the show for what we should put out. So like, you know, in my head, I've got something like, you know, because it's running at 3 in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to put something like, you've made enough bad decisions tonight. Listen to WGN Radio as you head home. Something like that.
That's
you're
out
in the middle of the
how about what's in your refrigerator?
Well, does that get them to tune in?
Well, sure.
We got to bring them in.
Listen
Raj.
To the Matt Pabalo show and find out. Because Matt's going in your refrigerator.
I think that needs work.
Yeah, okay. How about, why are you looking at this billboard? You should be listening to Matt Pabalo show on WGN Radio in your car.
Okay.
All right.
So we need help here. 312-981-7200. We need ideas.
Uh huh.
And I don't know if we make it about the show, like something about pizza.
Mm hmm.
Something about.
How about, did you leave towels on your floor, bath towels on your floor?
Oh.
Listen to Matt Pabalo and find out.
And that's what I have to check would be what would be the coolest.
Yeah.
Is if once we know what the topics are for the night, we could
uh-huh.
change the artwork
ooh,
or whatever.
Yeah,
so it
yeah,
says,
yeah.
hey, after 3 a.m., does your husband leave the towels on the floor? You know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So if you said how many times per hour?
I don't know.
One
I
got to
find out. You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on this, Raj.
Well, right. But, I mean,
but, you
could
know,
we put
like
three or four of them on and then they rotate so we can get, you know. Because you're
know.
Not going
I'm
for the same driver
out.
Each hour.
Correct.
So
I don't think I'd be able to
yeah.
change it per hour.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Is whatever you put up one time, that's what they would keep showing.
I would think
showing.
For that night, yeah.
Okay.
At all least.
Right.
And we could do it on a weekly basis.
We'll
just see how much, you know. And so you set a budget. So if you said, well, I got $20, if you can get it for $20, then they'll either say, yeah, we got you on a few, or no, we didn't. And now this is interesting. They give like an example.
Huh.
Let's see here.
How about pizza or no pizza? Listen to the Matt Bubala show to find out.
You decide.
Yeah, you decide. Ooh, yeah. Vote now with your phone.
Or, yeah, call in. Tell us why you're out. So why are you out so late? Call now and tell us.
Why are you looking at this billboard?
Going? Yeah.
Are you driving the right way? Listen to the Matt Bubala show and find out.
So listen, for a $20 daily budget. Now, I don't know if they'd be like, if you spend $1,000 over a bunch of days or how. But they said for a $20 daily budget, estimated 527 showings on a billboard during mixed peak to off-peak times.
Ooh.
Now, we just want, you know, completely off-peak.
Yeah.
As off-peak as it gets.
Right.
I think we do. 630 says, if you're planning on advertising while the show is on, make sure that you say, listen now. Good point.
Oh, tune in now.
Yeah, somebody says, put on the billboard, what's a Bubala?
What's a Bubala?
Tune in to WGN Radio.
I like that.
See, and we can have as many as we want. Could change every week. I think this would be fun.
I think it's awesome. Do you think wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that you, I, and Jess pool our money together?
No, I'll take care of this.
No.
You guys aren't chipping.
But you're promoting the show. So what about the station?
No, we're not asking. This is a beg for forgiveness, not ask for permission type situation.
Oh, okay.
Because if they, are you saying ask them for some money?
Yeah.
So this is, so tell me how this goes down, Raj. They give us some money. And then Steve Cochran hears that Matt Bubala has billboards.
Yeah.
How does that turn over?
He's had billboards before.
I'm sure he has, but Matt Bubala doesn't. And if there's money going from the station be into more Steve Cochran or Ocon billboards, I'm guessing. I don't see Todd in a meeting with Steve going, you know, Steve, we're really looking to shore up the overnight ratings. So we're going to put a lot of money into Matt Bubala in this next year. 920 says, here's the billboard. If you're having trouble sleeping, listen to Matt Bubala. So that's sort of the backhanded compliment of the billboard world right there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
815 says, hey, you, on the bike. Listen to What's Up with Matt on WGN 720.
Hey, you on the bike. But this is,
because it's takeoff on the Blues Brothers.
Yes.
I like that.
So this billboard is facing the expressway.
Well,
but is it visible from other parts of the city around there?
Not probably much.
Okay.
They're usually right on the expressways. Oh, because now somebody wants a billboard for Jess. De-stress with Jess.
Ooh, hey. That's nice. See, there's an electronic billboard, digital billboard, that I can see. I'm driving on Northwest Highway. I'm heading from Devon to Foster. Mm-hmm. Okay, on Thursday nights. There is a digital billboard far off to my right, but very high in the, you know, on the horizon that I can see quite clearly while I'm driving along. And I often see what's switching, you know, what the different things they're advertising. And there's a whole bunch of stuff up there. And I wonder if that's the same one. I think it would be on the Kennedy, facing the Kennedy coming in from the airport.
What, that I saw the billboard on?
No, that I saw the billboard on.
That you saw what billboard on?
This digital billboard that I could see from Northwest Highway.
Oh. Well, I mean, there's all sorts of billboards everywhere. Right, these things are the most common thing now that there is.
I don't go on those expressways a lot.
630 says, our billboard should say, nothing good happens after midnight. Prove me wrong!
This is a great idea.
While you are driving, let Bubala drive you crazy. Tune in to WGN.
Yeah, got to keep it short and sweet. Short and sweet.
They need
impactful.
To be able to read it as they go by.
Yeah, it's only up for like 10 seconds, 10, 15 seconds at the most.
I think this would be fun. And then what we could do is Jess will wrangle up some prizes.
Ooh.
And if you text in a picture of one of our billboards, you're eligible for some sort of prize.
That'd be cool.
Jess, you got to... Oh, hold on. There you go. Say it again.
It can be like, where's Wally?
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. Be like, where's Maddie?
Yeah.
We'll make it that. That would be really cool. All right, I'm looking into this week. Now, Jess and I are both gone next weekend, Roger. I'm sorry. You're on your own. Don't screw it up.
You'll be in Vegas with Sam. I'm going to be in Vegas. Right.
You know what? Sam is out in Vegas. Yeah. I should look Sam up. I'm going to be there from Saturday to Thursday.
You should. Don't forget, you got to go to the Batista's Hole in the Wall.
Batista's Hole in the Wall. Yeah. I've talked to our group that's going up there. I think we're going to try to plan a trip.
Sweet. All right. Yeah. Make sure you make reservations because they're very busy.
Okay. Yeah. 630 says, Babylon with Bubala and Company.
Bubala and Company. I like
that. Babylon with Bubala and Company.
Yeah.
Streetwood Steve says, Matt, the only good billboard is the Admiral billboard. Maybe we do a takeoff on the Admiral billboards to get you to look at them, but then we trick you into listening.
Oh, yeah. You could stand up there with like a shoulder exposed.
Yes.
And just, that's what I'm and this come do. Hither look in your eyes.
I do give a swell come hither look.
Moonlit with Matt. Yeah. And then that image.
Oh, how about this? This is a good one. 312 says, the driver next to you saw you picking your nose.
Ew.
And so did Matt Bubala on WGN Radio.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we've got the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Mr. Roger Battish here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here, 720 WGN. 816 says, how about this? Matt and friends, live people, lively conversation right now on 720 WGN. I like that. Live people, because not everybody's live in the world.
That's true. Yeah.
WGN is always live and local. How about something smart alecky, like, we're what that AM button that you don't use is for, or we're what that AM button is for. Make a little joke about AM radio.
How about AM, always Matt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or you could, so there's a thing in advertising, which I'm sure you're aware of, where if you advertise a certain product, like any product,
okay,
like let's say you're Juul and you advertise, you know, Manischewitz wine,
right.
Manischewitz sometimes will pay part of that ad.
Sure. Oh, I'd love to do that.
Okay, so here's what we do.
Who we bring in?
No. Is it live or is it Memorex? Tune into Matt Bubala's show and find out.
And so are we getting Memorex?
Memorex would give money. Are they still in business?
Well, I was going to say, and they're selling tapes?
Well, that's what it is, you know, because you were saying, you know, not a lot of radio stations are live.
Yeah.
24/7 like WGN is.
Okay.
So I think
we got a lot to think about here.
Yeah.
We're going to make it happen. We're going to find out. In 2 weeks, when we're back, I will find out what I found out, and I'll tell you what I found out about how this could work.
Okay.
Then we're going to make it work.
Right.
Here are the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. 3 o'clock in the morning. Here's the news with Roger Battish. Matt Bubala Show. Another billboard. Matt Bubala, just another guy who will eat your blank out of the fridge. I don't think I could put that word on the billboard. I can't put it on the air. How about this? This may be my favorite so far. 847 says, put down the phone and let Matt do all the talking. WGN Radio, 720, Saturday, 1 to 5 a.m.
I like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
How about just, can we steal another company's slogan?
Maybe.
Can you hear me now? You will if you turn your radio on to 720 a.m. Matt Bubala Show.
Yeah. We could plug, so we're in the Allstate Skyline studio.
Ooh, Allstate, boom, now it's paid for.
You're in good hands with Matt Bubala, 1 to 5 a.m.
Ooh.
Now maybe they'd sue us and that would be bad.
Well, no, because they would pay for it.
They might not like other people doing the
But you put the logo up there.
Thing.
You put their logo next to the WGN logo.
For that, I can't just do that.
Well, then, but if you say, can you pay for it, and we'll say...
Hey, by the way, can you pay for this? Sure, Matt. Anything. Whatever. No, we can't. And get our hands off your billboard. Guess that's what we're going to hear. Like, we have your driving record here. We know who you are.
We know whose refrigerator you've been in.
That sounds like trouble.
It's funny.
Oh, real quick. So Jess and I were just arguing off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, it's partly your parking problem, too. You didn't park as well as you should have. hold on. I got to put you back up. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I parked right behind the little sign.
Where you and I park, there are three spots. There's room for three spots. In front of us, it's a tow zone. Although it's kind of interesting. It's like, cannot park there between 5 a.m. and 2 a.m. It's reserved for like food trucks. Then there's three spots of open parking, and then there's another tow zone because it's a bus area that a bus gets to. There's a bus stop. Jess, you were a good 4 feet behind that pole because I parked in front of you.
No.
And backed it up as far as I could because then there was somebody behind you, like 2 feet behind you. So the two of you were taking up all three spots.
Well, go yell at the person behind
me. Well, they weren't in the car.
Well, so you're just going to yell at me, take it out
you're
of
me? You're the only one I have here.
Wow,
and I, so I
look
parked
at you
in front
two.
Of you and I backed up as far as I could, but the front end of my car is hanging over the tow zone for food trucks. So until 2 a.m., I was, you know, so if I leave and my car's gone, man, oof, that's going to be a bad Saturday.
You'll be okay.
I hope so. If it's gone, I'm taking your car.
Okay, I'll drive you home.
Stefan can pick you up. You got to stay. You got to produce Outside the Loop this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just doing double duty.
Oh, yeah. Anything for Colin.
Yeah.
So you can take my
right.
car.
So speaking of other boys you're apparently in love with, let's revisit if we shall. By the way, Roger, the pizza's really good. Come have a slice before it's all gone. Just have one.
You'll feel better. I am still stuffed.
Ah. Oh, my goodness.
Seriously, I had my, I got my noodles this weekend. My gluten-free, dairy-free mac and cheese with my roasted tomato chicken meatballs. And it's very filling.
It sounds filling.
It's delicious.
Ooh, ooh, we may have a new leader in the clubhouse.
What?
815 billboard idea. Even Bears kickers don't miss Matt Bubala.
Boom.
That's pretty good.
That they just knocked that out of the park.
That's really good.
Yeah.
God, you listeners are good.
I like these. Keep them coming.
Oh, yeah, that's why Jess is trying. She's trying to distract me. It almost worked. You threw me off for a second. That was really good, Jess. I'm impressed. But no, back to you.
Yes.
Last week, somehow you went on a rant about your hopefully someday fiance leaving his towels on the floor, not picking his stuff up.
It was not a rant.
It was a bit of a rant.
No,
maybe I was
like
ranting.
A rant to
I don't
me.
Remember how it went, but you got all hot and bothered.
You were talking about Jack and how he leaves.
Oh, yes. As a teenager, he leaves his towel, and I got to yell at him all the time to hang it up. And you said, I have to do that with Stefan.
Well, you were like, does anyone else do that? And then I made a little comment in your ear.
And I made you say it on the radio, and then we got into it. So Stefan is not good about picking up his dirty towels.
Right.
And by the way, Roger, I think somebody was tweeting us or some. There were some comments this week, people who were like, God, you guys reuse your towels? Are you and I the only ones that
oh,
don't
really?
Wash a towel after each shower?
Yeah. Wait a minute. So people...
I saw some people...
Hotels even tell you that they won't change your towels every day.
If you don't put them on the floor. Do you ever, like, reuse a towel in a hotel? I will never reuse a towel in a hotel.
If I'm still there?
Uh-uh.
Why not?
Because I'm out. I'm not at home.
No.
I'm living large and I'm spending money and I'm going to have a fresh towel.
I hang my towel up over the...
Matt deserves his fresh towel.
If I touch a towel, it goes on the floor.
No.
Done with you. On to the next one.
Man, you're just like the Four Seasons.
Yes.
Matt's like a
you know,
sassy
he
ex-girlfriend.
Just kept throwing his towels on the floor.
I don't get out much, so I'm
you got
it
that
up
right
if I'm there. Heck yeah!
I hang mine over the curtain rod so that it airs out and dries out, so I can use it the next time I need it.
Nah, they give you like four or five of them.
It doesn't matter. You're wasting a lot of water. And
not
the,
wasting
and
that much
yes.
water. No.
The
They're
less
not
towels,
changing my sheets every day.
You're not the only one, Matt Bubala, in a hotel.
Now I'm tearing the sheets off the bed every day, throwing those on the floor. I demand fresh sheets.
Wow.
Why am I wallowing in my own filth?
Pity.
Exactly. Something like that. So, Jess.
Yes, Matthew.
So we had a discussion about you and Stefan and how you have not been able to get him to, you know, pick up his stuff, grow up and, you know, clean up a little bit. And you have to take care of him. And we got upset with you because you say that you just pick up the towel for him. You enable this. So did you talk to Stefan about it? Oh, yes, you did. You told me off air. So you told Stefan that we had this conversation on the air.
Yeah.
And you said that, you know, I was complaining. Did you tell him that you were complaining that he doesn't pick up his towel?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He says, what, you do it too. And then he got all sassy.
Now, is that true, Jess? Are you just as bad? Do you leave your towel on the floor too? I can't imagine you do.
No.
You never do that, do you?
Why would I leave my towel on the floor?
Well, why does Stefan leave his towel on the floor?
Because he's a boy? I don't know.
Dry off, you just drop it and you walk away, I guess. So you never do that.
No.
So he said, you do it too, and he walked away.
It's gross.
Went back to his video games?
Yeah.
And did you just let it go?
I think so.
He just has you so whipped.
No, he does not.
Oh, my God. He does, too.
No.
Jess.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yes.
Nope.
Yes. Yes.
Matthew.
You confront him on something. He says you do it, too, and walks away. You're like, okay. And you go back to picking up his towels. We told you to leave the towels on the floor this week. Did you do that? Be honest. You picked him up.
Maybe. I can't help it.
Because you're whipped.
No.
Yes.
Just because
he's got you wrapped around his finger.
But I did make a compromise. I haven't done the dishes yet. And there's a lot of dishes in the sink. They need to be done. But I'm not going to do them.
And is he going to do them?
Probably not.
Of course. So then you're going to be without dishes.
Yeah, where does this end?
Yeah.
Who finally breaks?
It's
a game of chicken. He knows he's going to win. He's not going to do those dishes. I wouldn't do them if I were him.
You know, they sell paper plates at the grocery store.
That's what he's out buying right now.
Yeah, probably.
We do have a lot of paper plates.
once the dishes are full.
And plastic silverware.
Yeah, once it's full and he's home alone, he's going to be like, I'm going to go to my secret stash. I'm not breaking down.
Yeah.
If I were him, I wouldn't do them. Because I know you'll break down and do them.
She will.
You gotta stay strong, Jess.
He gets in like cleaning moods. Like he doesn't like to be
once a year.
Well,
see, I'm gonna say this, Jess. You're making excuses. Okay. He gets in cleaning moods. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not acceptable. The dishes happen every day. You don't get in an eating mood once a week. You eat four times a day, and you make dishes. You don't get in a showering mood. You shower. Okay. There are certain things we have to do. You're right. Dusting, vacuuming, cleaning the bathrooms real good. I agree. It helps if you're like, yeah, we're going to tackle that now versus being forced into it. But there's certain things that just a matter, you know, does he get in a washing his hands mood and otherwise he pees every day and never washes his hands? I would hope not, right? There's certain things you just do because it's common sense and, you know, it's what we do.
True.
And you have to beat into him that picking up your towel and doing the dishes is one of those things.
Okay. I'll start with doing the dishes.
The harder one? You're just going to let the towel thing keep going, huh?
I don't know. I haven't decided. I have to work on them slowly.
You women love a project.
Slowly. It's going to take 365 days for her to work on them.
Roger, do you believe women in general, just like a man who's a project, do you guys like?
No.
You don't think so?
Not Bridget.
Women are like projects, what?
No, you like a project in a man. You like to think you're going to reshape us and fix us and make us what you really want.
Oh, no, I gave that up on that idea a long time ago.
Yeah, but you're still picking up his towels. You're still working on him.
But she's not working on him. Maybe she's right. Maybe she just gave up and she just gave in, and that's why he's never going to... Why should he do the dishes or pick up his towels if he knows that he doesn't have to?
Yeah. I don't know. I have found that, at least with us, Bridget gave up on working on me as a project a long time ago.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm still a project.
Yeah, well, I am too. You're
just
on your own.
Just a project she's put on a shelf and let get dusted.
She says, I got better things to do.
All right, so you talked to Stefan about this, and he just kind of had a retort, walked away.
Yeah, he was just sassy.
She's used that twice now tonight, sassy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Matt is also sassy tonight.
I am?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's not leaving his towels on the floor.
He's not. He picks up after himself.
Not even his napkins from the pizza.
I threw one away. I've got one here. Here's this, Jess. So when I, 1 year in college, I went and did an internship in Omaha. A buddy of mine from college, Jim, was heading out to Omaha because his girlfriend was out there in nursing school. He's like, come out to Omaha for the summer. So I'm like, so I don't know why I agreed to this. I got an internship at Fox 42 News, and I worked at the Yonkers department store, and we lived together. We rented a house from a couple of girls that were going to law school. What's in Omaha? Drake? Something like that. They were going to law school. They had a, it was a house where they rented the upper floor. So we sublet it from them, or subleased it from them for 3 months. And Jim did not, he was in a stage of his life. He's probably, you know, more clean now, but he just didn't clean up anything. And it drove me insane. He would never do the dishes. I'm always doing dishes, always doing dishes. So one day it was like a Friday afternoon. He's heading out with his girlfriend for the weekend. They're like going out of town. There is a sink full of dirty dishes because I was cleaning my dishes and not cleaning the others because I'm getting annoyed with this. He leaves without doing the dishes. So now I'm furious. He's left for the weekend. I'm stuck in this house with this sink full of disgusting dishes. So what do I do? Do I be like, Jess, just say it's fine. I'll clean this up. No. We had a cooler in the house, like a styrofoam, one of those coolers. I took every dirty, crappy dish and I put it in that cooler for the weekend. So I had a nice clean house. And when he arrived on Sunday, I put them all back in the sink. And I said to him, those are your dishes. I'm not cleaning those damn dishes up.
And what did he do?
He cleaned those dishes, Jess. He learned. This is what you have to do.
We should have him on the show one night.
Stefan?
No, your friend.
Why my friend? Why not Stefan?
I don't know.
Because you're trying to avoid it.
You can have both of them on. We'll just have them both call in.
708 says, Jess, close the lid on the toilet so he has to open it every time. Maybe he might get the hint. Thank you, Chris, from Midway.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm going to say
something. But then he would just leave it open.
I'm going to say something here. And I know I'm on the wrong side of this, and women have told me this my whole life. I don't believe a man should have to put the toilet seat back down.
What? Oh, you're in so much trouble now.
You're
in so much trouble.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now.
If he lives alone, fine.
No. Either. Because women will be like, you have to put the toilet seat down. You have to put the toilet seat down. And I don't get that. Now, if there's a toilet seat and a lid, right? Because there's a lid, you know, unless you're at a office building or whatever.
No, there's two also parts to the toilet seat. Right.
Now, but women don't say you have to put the lid down. I've never heard a woman say that. They say you have to put the toilet seat down. The toilet seat should be down. And I say, wait a minute. The lid should be down. No, just the toilet seat. And that upsets me because because I understand it if it's like, this looks disgusting with the toilet seat up. I'll agree with that. But it doesn't look any better with the toilet seat down. It looks better if the lid is closed. Then I think it looks more acceptable.
Right.
If you're just saying, no, you just have to have the toilet seat down, then I just don't get that. Then it's just
I think it's implied that you close everything.
No, I don't think so, Roger. I've had this argument.
Oh.
And
with who?
Women.
Oh.
And here's the thing. So women get upset if you don't put the toilet seat down, and my retort to that is, just be glad we put it up.
No, that's
yes,
not. No.
Yes.
No.
Because if we pee with the toilet seat down, there's going to be dribble on the toilet seat.
Understood.
And you don't want that.
But
here's the thing. I've gotten yelled at because now, back in college, mm-hmm. once Colleen and I were dating, I spent the night once with her and her roommates. So there were four of them living together, and I stayed overnight. Yes, we were living in Sin.
Yes, you were.
But so I got up and used the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only 18 at the time, so I didn't put everything back down. I left everything open. Okay, the seat was up.
Mm-hmm.
Four girls living together, seat's never up, right?
Right.
Our friend Rachel got up to use the washroom in the middle of the night.
And fell through. That's why you put the seat down.
And here's my question to that.
Yes.
So I understand, you got to put the seat down, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, but who's, you know, backing their ass into a toilet and not looking. Do you women because really do that? You just turn around and
when there's
sit without
only
looking?
Women, when there's only women living
how
in the
do
place.
You not look where you're putting your naked bottom.
Because you don't have to. It's always the same place.
No, it's a general rule of life. If your butt is naked, watch where you're putting it. How are you just trusting whatever you're
wait
doing?
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
It's disgusting.
There's your billboard.
There you go.
If your butt is naked, watch where you're putting it.
Yes.
Matt Bubala, WGN Radio.
Yes. So I'll put the entire thing down, but if you're like, oh, put the seat down, I say, no, no, no. Turn around, take a look at what's going on.
No.
Yes.
You don't have to. I'm standing up for the women of the world.
No, no,
who get
no.
up in the middle of the night and expect the seat to be down.
You shouldn't expect anything in life. You should be prepared.
Thank you, Roger. Thank
no,
you.
No, 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 no. Listen, if it's got to be down, then I'm not lifting it up to pee. Which
but you
want?
Have to pick it up to pee.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
yes, you do.
I don't have to pick up the...
Then guess what? You have to clean it.
No, yeah. I don't.
Yeah, because you both use it.
No, 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 yes. No. Well, I'll clean it once a week or whatever. Sure, I'll take part of it. But I'm not cleaning it after I pee. If it's got to be down, then I shouldn't be... Why are men expected to lift up and put back down and women don't have
because
to do
because you're
anything?
A man.
Oh, you just
man up, buddy.
In there. And you back your tushy up and you just sit it down like it's a throne. No. If we got to pick up and put down, you got to pick up and put down. It's only fair. Equality, Jess.
What fair?
What do you mean what
there's fair?
There's no fair. Why does it have to be
who's
down?
In charge of your household?
I'm not going to
who's in
that.
Charge of your
Colleen's
household?
I think Colleen's going to have something to say to this.
Listen, I've made the argument at home.
And?
I say,
you lost, didn't you?
No.
You lost.
Listen, I do what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
I say, be happy that seat went up in the first place. And look, watch where you're looking. You know, what do we tell our kids? Look both ways. Do all these things. But we're just going to tell them, but back your butt into anything you want at any time. No, that's not the type of children we're raising.
Because you've raised your sons to know that they have to lift up the seat.
Yes,
or
because
the
they
top.
Can't hit the broadside of a barn. God knows there's urine everywhere in that bathroom. It's disgusting as hell. And you know what? The triplets clean the bathrooms. That's how you win that one. Carl, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I got to agree. You know, if we have to remember to put the seat down, they can remember to put it. I totally agree. You know, it's a two-way street.
I agree. And I understand if you're like the lid, the whole thing. Yes, I agree with that. Close the whole thing off. Then you also still have to lift it up when you're going. But just, the seat needs to be down. That's sexist. It's really sexist, Jess. That's what it is. Sexist.
Of course, when you go pee, you got to remember to lift it up. But, you know, they got to remember to put it down. I mean, you got to look out for yourself.
Yes, you should never be backing your butt into anything. That's a general rule in life. That's where you go wrong and get yourself into trouble, quite frankly. Thank you, Carla.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend, right, buddy. Chris, you're on 720 WGN. How are you?
Yeah. I've been brought up that the idea of, and this is for a sanitary reason, is that no matter what, you keep the lid down because you don't have to worry about the germs getting outside the toilet. And who wants germs coming up and getting onto their toothbrush and stuff like that.
That's a good point. So,
and then it's just as easy for everybody's got to lift the lid.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's equality, Chris. That's what we fought for, right? We should all have to lift the lid. Let's lift the lid as one.
And if you need to lift the lid, the other one, you just lift them both together,
and I'm
and
okay
you put
with
them both
that.
Down.
I agree, and I'm okay with that. I'll carry that extra weight. That's on me as a man to have to lift the lid as well. As long as we're both lifting something, Chris, we feel equal. We're all pitching in.
Stop and think about the germs.
Good idea.
That's why I always keep mine down, and get a little upset when somebody comes in and doesn't.
And doesn't shut the lid as well.
Right.
Yes.
Besides,
Chris, I'm on board with you. I nominate you for president. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for calling. Bill, you're on 720 WGN. How are you?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing Chris just said. It's already been proven by testing that if you flush the toilet with the lid up, mist forms and it goes into the air. And if you got your toothbrushes sitting on the sink, and they're not covered or something, you just polluted everybody's toothbrush with your crappy germs that sprayed up out of the water.
That's really interesting. So, you're saying you should shut the lid.
You should shut the lid
before you flush. Before you flush, we should be shutting the lid. I've never done that
in my life.
I always watch it go down.
No, you don't have to watch it go down. Why you got to watch it go down?
Well,
just watch it go down.
I guess it's just entertaining to me to watch it spin around. I don't know.
Well, that's your weird.
Yeah, I know. That's my own thing.
That's your childish prerogative to watch it go down.
True.
Kids like to do that, but you should shut the lid
and then flush. I've never thought of that in my life.
Right, because it's been proven, and you probably didn't read this. This is proven. Oh man, 40, 50 years ago, that when you flush the toilet.
Stuff's
there's a mist
into the
comes
air.
Up. You can't see it, but it comes up and it gets all over everything.
Quite honestly, as a man, you're facing the toilet because you urinated, and then you lean over and flush. Oftentimes, if you're wearing shorts, you'll feel on your shin a little bit of the mist.
Right. Well, that's the same
you're
mist
right.
that
it
flies
is,
up and gets all over
there.
The room.
Yeah.
Right. Gets into your air system and that.
That's a good heads up call there, Bill. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So two callers that said. See, Roger, I won this one, Roger. Now he's all quiet.
Oh, you didn't win anything. It's only two callers.
That was three.
Nah.
Three.
Three callers.
Three. Yes. Yes.
312 says, happy wife, happy life.
Boom.
Matthew.
They're talking to you, Jess.
I'm not happy.
I'm standing by my...
847, or 3... where is it? 847 tells Jess, tell your man to simply cut the BS. Pick up the towels, period. I'm not a maid. 847 says, the seat is designed to be left in both positions. If they don't like it, take off the seat. Now
then everybody falls in.
They're the only ones backing in and not seeing.
Well, how many times you wake up in the middle of the night, you got to back in?
As a man, have you ever sat on a seat without looking at it first?
Yes.
No, you liar!
Yes.
I
swear to God!
When are you just backing into
it's
a
happened
toilet?
In the past 10 years.
Roger.
It's happened at least 3 or 4 times.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm backing in. I don't know. It's the middle of the night.
So what?
I'm tired. I'm not paying attention.
Come on. You're just walking in there and just sitting down expecting everything to be hunky-dory. I'm not buying it.
I swear to God.
Why would you do that?
It's not a want to do it. It's not like, see if the seat is up.
That's
I want the seat up.
You're making.
No.
What do you mean no?
I've done it.
Why?
It's not a why thing. It happens. It just
happens. I'm not buying it. Brian, you're at 720 WGN. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing there, young man? Still going at it, aren't you?
Till the day I die, sir.
You got it. Same here, buddy. Listen, I've been listening to your show. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I love how you and Roger go back and forth. And I like it when sometimes Jess kicks in there, too.
We do, too.
You know, when, when I'm at home, I mean, I usually will leave the toilet seat up. But when there's people over, I close it, man, you know, and that includes the lid. Why? Because sometimes somebody's going to grab my hairbrush or a comb, or they might even grab my toothbrush or whatever, and it falls in the toilet when it's open. And God forbid if that's all, and it hasn't been flushed prior to that. Now I got a real problem.
That's gross thought.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, just the thought of it, right? You know?
Yeah.
Because I keep it on the toilet tank because it's right next to the sink, which is next to the toilet.
Oh, wait, you keep your toothbrushes on top of the toilet tank?
I mean, you know, I don't have the holders and all that, you know.
What, you just got it sitting on the tank?
I got it in a tube.
Okay.
You know, like I was in the military when I was back in Vietnam. So, you know, I mean, that's the way I run. But, I mean, it'll roll off and it'll go right in there, man. You know, hairbrush, you know, combs. You know, the only thing that hasn't gone in there is my beard trimmer, okay? You know, thank God for that. Yeah, I mean, I haven't blown that out. I mean, they're not exactly cheap either for beard trimmers,
I'll,
you know.
I'll bet not. I'll bet not. You're pushing your luck on that one. Thank you so much for calling, Brian. We got to get to the news here. Although 708 says putting the lid theory has holes in it. The germs can still enter.
Holes,
the germs can still enter the air from the gaps between the bowl lid and seat, even if it's down. And that's true because you got those little, like, you know, the little legs
little pads,
on the seat
right.
that, like, lift it up so that they still could get out. Not as much, I guess.
No, because you've stopped the majority of it from seeping out.
312 says, cover your mouth when you sneeze, close the lid before you flush.
Boom.
I think that's a good thing to remember. I am going to try now to start closing the lid before I flush. I think that's a good idea. And I fully believe, lid always down, yes. But if you give me this, oh, just put the seat down, no. I'm marching on Washington on that one.
Wow.
Raj, I think I won this one.
No.
Yes, I did. No, just admit it.
No.
Fine. 3:33 in the morning. Here's Roger with the headlines. You making a statement here, Jess? Is this the same to me?
I ain't gonna do you wrong. Why you gone?
I'll tell you what. Aretha never just backed in. Aretha was a woman who knew where she was going and what she was doing. She didn't expect no man to be leaving the seat down for her. She took care of it herself. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. So just so you basically just got out of completely the Stefan conversation in the towels. You got off the hook
on that one.
Yes, you did. You totally did. So now I want to talk to you about something else. You were texting me at 2 in the morning last week. You're out at some bar. Now, Stefan was with you, right?
Yeah, he was with me.
But you turned into a groupie for some band and ended up in a hotel room in the middle of the night.
No.
What did I say there that wasn't true? Dramatic pause. Not sure how to answer that one. You did end up in the hotel room of some band in the middle of the night, yes?
Possibly.
Yes.
Okay, so I had a friend that had a very long commute here.
I love how the excuses start. Well, I had a friend, and she had a really long commute, and so we just stayed in their hotel room.
I did not stay there. She stayed there.
She did? You left her there?
Well, she was like, do you want to spend the night here? I was like, my house is 15 minutes from here, so I went home. She stayed there. I woke up at 7 a.m. on Sunday, picked her back up, and then took her to her car.
Why didn't she just come stay at your house?
Because, I don't know, she thought it was cool.
She was having some fun.
No, okay. She was there alone.
Okay. In the hotel room?
Mm-hmm.
Where was the band?
They left. They just, like, the hotel room was already paid for, and they had a show.
Okay. So they had to get
going.
So
they just gave us the room, basically.
Okay. All right.
Because they were nice. I don't know.
Okay. That's fine. So you're hanging out with this band who you had just met at the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you told me a story about one of the guys in the band who told you that Taylor Swift wrote a song about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you ate that up. And now you're telling everybody, yeah, I met Steven and Taylor Swift wrote a song about him. And I'm going to tell you right now, she didn't write some song about some guy, Steven, in some band that's playing in small clubs. That is probably a really good pickup line that he uses like crazy on girls.
I don't know. He's married. Why would he want another girl?
I'm not going to answer that at all. I'm just going to say that I bet there are a lot of guys in bands going from town to town telling girls, well, yeah, Taylor Swift wrote a song about me. Because you got all excited and you're telling that story.
I'll do a poll because I'm going to Nashville next weekend.
See how many guys there tell you Taylor Swift wrote a song.
Okay, I will.
But you're going with Stefan, so it's not like you're going to be talking to a bunch of guys, right? Aren't you, this isn't a girl's trip. You're going with Stefan, right?
Mm-hmm.
In hotel rooms, will he pick up his towel? I guess you'll find out next weekend.
Actually, he does. He does because, like, once, I think when we went to California, he left something on the floor and then the maid, like, took it.
So that's how he learned his life. See, that's what you got to do. Whenever he leaves something on the floor, just take it and hide it.
Hide it?
Or get rid of it. One of the two.
That's true.
Have that piece of pizza. Oh, you're going to come in and
look? He was just sniffing. He's just sniffing.
Oh, boy. He is something
else. I stepped away from the table.
Come on. Just have one. Just one.
I'm free. We're calling the next dealer.
He's off pizza. God bless him. I'm very proud of you, though. That's impressive.
Well, I'm putting on enough weight with everything else I eat.
Well, then just have a slice of pizza.
Just eat one.
I don't understand why you just don't have one. Moderation.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
I had four and I'm on my second Diet Coke.
I think I've had three monsters so far.
You've had three monsters tonight? Yeah, this is a big turvis of water.
Minus one that I spilled.
Did you hear about Just
Biden
on the way
in? She told
tonight?
Me first thing, yeah. And so she comes in and says, yeah, my knee was hurting. And I went to look at it. It's all scraped and bleeding, and I'll put a Band-Aid on it. I go, whoa, wait a minute. As I turned into
really
dad.
Yelled at her about cleaning out
yes,
her cuts.
Yes, I did. Yes. I turned into dad and said she needs to clean that, wash it with soap and hot water, really get it clean and dried up, and then put a paper over it to make sure the bleeding doesn't keep going.
She didn't fall into hypodermic needles. It's on
no,
the ground.
She fell on cement on a stairwell.
It's not a rusty nail.
It doesn't matter. She's bleeding. She needs to clean it up and then put the Band-Aid on it.
Ay, ay, ay.
Look, man. My dad was in the medical corps. I learned a lot from
him. She's not in war.
It doesn't matter.
Medic! She fell on the stairs.
And she hurt her knee. She got a boo-boo on her knee.
I'll live.
Just kiss it and put a
as long as you give me a princess Band-Aid, I will be okay.
Man.
Wow.
Or any Disney Band-Aids work, too.
Man. I wonder who am I working with here? By the way, I put the lid down. But I just realized something.
No, there are no lids on our toilets here.
Well, there's the seat.
Right. Now,
I put
here,
the seat
that's fine.
Down.
And I put the seat back
and there's
down
no
afterwards,
lid, though.
Too.
That is the weirdest thing.
No, it's not. Any public toilet doesn't have a lid.
Why not? If we just had the caller talking about making sure you put the seat down.
Well, you don't have your toothbrush in there. You're not living in there, A. And probably just because it would be more for people to have to clean up and more places that in public restrooms people would pee all over.
Lord.
Well, you know how public restrooms are. It's always
disgusting.
I know.
That's why I try not.
Now, I always lift up the seat in a public restroom. Well, I always lift up the seat anyways. But
right.
I definitely don't put it back down. Here's the thing. I do not put it back down often here. And here's why.
Okay.
I do
so
that
you're the culprit.
For the women. I do that for you, Jess.
Why?
How many times?
So much
now,
extra
listen.
Work.
No. Oh, my God. You are. This is what. Come on, women. Here's the thing.
You're if lucky.
Here's what they don't see, though, Roger, that
what?
You will agree with me.
What?
You ever go to a men's room in a gas station?
It's disgusting. Go
ew.
Ahead.
And what's
go
the
ahead.
Seat look like?
Disgusting.
Disgusting. It's got urine on it.
I
it's
don't
got God
touch
knows
that.
What.
Horrible.
Right. You don't, Jess. So here's what I'm doing.
They clean
you a
the
favor.
Women's bathroom, but they don't
so you're
going to
make me touch it? And put it down?
I know.
Get a paper.
Better that
paper
you touch
towel.
It with your finger than put your cheeks on it.
Ugh.
And it'd be gross, right? Yes. So I leave it up because I know men. I know how disgusting we are. I've been in men's rooms my whole life and seen those. Roger, you've seen seats in men's room your whole life.
Yes.
They're disgusting.
Yeah, they are.
There are reasons that men, my son Tommy, will not go to the bathroom at school. Number two.
I don't
ever.
Blame him.
He waits till he gets home.
I don't blame him.
And most
school
men,
bathrooms are even worse.
And like if you ever have to go to a porta potty, you roll out the whole thing of toilet paper to cover that thing up before you or you learn to squat real well.
Ugh.
So I'm leaving it up for you, Jess, so that other men that go in there don't leave tinkle on the seat. This way,
I
when you put it
saying.
Down, you at least know it's been away from whatever else has been coming in there.
Yeah, he's kind of right on that.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Now what is she going to go do? She going to go see if the seat is up?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. She got a baseball bat.
Breaking news you're handing
careful,
us? Or what's
careful.
Going on?
Yeah. Presents. It's got a list of all the germs that you lead or bacteria you lead.
Bacterium. Yeah.
Bacterium, yeah. What is?
She's just handing me our 4 a.m. story.
Oh, okay.
She really got out of the whole Stefan thing, though. I give her credit for that.
Yeah.
But I'll stick by, you know, if you fall in That's on you. You should be looking. We say
fallen where?
The toilet.
I got yelled at. I don't know if
why
you,
would I fall in the toilet?
Because if you don't look in the middle of the night and you just back in and the seat is up, suddenly mm-hmm. you now in the middle of the night, Jess, you get up to go use the washroom. Do you walk in there and just sit down, or do you make sure the seat is down?
I usually have to put it down.
Oh, Stefan's a lever-upper.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
See, and I think that's, you know, I don't advocate that. I think the whole thing should be closed. But I would not feel guilty, because
mm-hmm.
I would say, why are you just backing into that?
Because it's the middle of the night, you're tired. Okay, it's the middle of the night, you're tired. To be
yeah.
That's in fine that you position. Expect it to be there, but what if something is on
out
it?
Out of courtesy, out of respect.
What if there's a snake in your toilet? You should be looking before you leap.
Well, I'm not living in the desert.
Well, that's happened
that's
before.
Accident
you
in
see
Australia.
Stories about that. There's
no.
A big, what if there's a big
in Chicago?
What if there's a big spider on the toilet seat and you just sit on it?
It'd be a dead spider.
Yeah. I have a bubble butt, so
maybe not. Maybe it'd bite.
Well, it'd be a dead spider that got one last bite.
How freaked out would you be if you sat down and you felt some spider running across your cheek? You would jump through the roof. Look before you sit, people.
I never said that I don't look.
You just said it's the middle of the night and I don't.
I do.
That was Raj.
Right, that was me.
Oh, that's right. She said she's got to put it down.
By the way, that is happening in Australia.
The snake
thing? It has been so hot down there that snakes get in through the water system to cool off. And there have been reports of snakes in the toilets. It's so weird.
So that's, you got to look then.
You got to look then.
Oh,
of course, there's God knows what kind of insects in Australia that we don't have here.
Yeah.
That get everywhere, no matter whether you got all the windows and doors closed or anything. You really got
to
be careful.
That would make it tough to ever go to the bathroom again, because even though you look before you get
yeah,
in there,
right.
Well, they came out at some point. So
right.
What's to say once I sit down and now I don't see what's going on underneath?
Right. Yeah.
That would be nerve-wracking.
Yep.
God. Another reason not to live in Australia.
There you go.
So after 4 a.m., Marcia Sirota is going to be on with us. International Hugging Day is coming upon us. And she starts out, International Hugging Day is here, and I want to make a case against hugs.
What's wrong with hugs?
We'll
What's
find
her
out.
Case?
We'll find out after 4 a.m. My
hugs
guess
feel
is,
good.
I'll read it during the news, but my guess is... There's a lot of unwanted hugging.
Well, that, yes.
And it's very tough to decide when you meet somebody.
Right.
Are we hugging? Are we mm-hmm. saying hello? And with women colleagues, I tend to hug. And there's a few women colleagues I work with, at Black Dog where I've given a hug and then I thought that was a really bad idea.
Oh.
You know, because you don't get much of a hug
sure,
back. And
sure.
you're like, oh, that was awkward. That was more of a, we're on more of a handshake basis, aren't we?
I was never much of a hugger. Growing up, but believe it or not, after teaching, I became much more of a hugger, both men and women.
Mm.
Because, I don't know if it's because of the schools I taught at or what, but you would go in to shake hands with guys, and you would get that shoulder hug, that, you know, the handshake, you pull in, shoulder hug, kind of a little... double tap on the back of the shoulder. That I consider that a hug.
Yeah.
No hugging of students.
Probably a good idea.
None. Even if they wanted one. Nope. Sorry. Don't do it.
How do you decide, like, when somebody comes in the newsroom, how do you decide whether you're giving a hug or just saying
if
hello?
They come running over at me and got their arms...
You're no hug initiator, though. You're on a no hug initiation basis.
No. No. I try to see where it's going. And if they put their hand out and it's the hand that's moving but the body is not, then it's a handshake.
Okay.
If the arms are out wide and they keep walking to you and they're smiling, it's a hug.
So a hug has to be initiated for you to hug?
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's the safe way to do it, I guess.
Because, again, what you just said, what if I'm
Yeah, because it's really awkward when you give a hug and they
right.
didn't want the hug.
Exactly.
You feel really, like, icky afterwards. You
yeah.
feel bad.
Yeah.
And I know there's two different people in the last month who I know well enough that I thought we were doing a hug. Mm-hmm. After I did, I like, oh, crap, we weren't hugging there, were we?
Jeez.
Mm, and that's an awkward situation.
It is, because you can't take it back.
You can't take a hug back?
No.
Once you give a hug, it's out there.
Right. But when you give a hug, hugs feel real good.
When it's a, yes, when it's an equal, when there's equal desire for, oh, yes. Hey, it's good to see you, and here's a hug.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But when it's not the right time,
mm-hmm.
it's a big matzo ball hanging out there. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And after the news, should you hug, should you not? What are the reasons? We'll find out. 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. After the news, International Hugging Day. Later in the show, I want to get to this before we get out. Possibly the strangest house listing I've ever seen. And it's interesting because I wonder, a friend of mine I was talking to about this today said, I wonder if a lot of houses have this type of thing in it and they just don't advertise it.
What's
because once you advertise that there's a certain thing in your house that most houses don't have,
mm-hmm.
that might appeal to some people and get them excited,
mm-hmm.
but now everybody knows you got this thing in this house. And then other people might go, that's weird.
Bowling alley?
Not a bowling alley.
Shooting range?
Not a shooting range.
Fishing pond, a cement pond.
Cement pond. We'll find out after the 4:30 news.
Ooh, look at you, Mr. Tease.
Hi, Jess. Hide your clean towels. Leave Stephens on the floor. When he no longer has clean towels to use, he will learn. I married my wife who had 5 children. They walked all over her. Me, not so much. They learned fast. Ooh. Bet that was a rough household for her.
Yeah.
312 says, my boyfriend not only puts the seat down, but also puts the lid down. No problem that way. 312, I agree. That is how we all come together. Everything down. Everybody works.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. 630, Jess says, leave towel on floor, clean bathroom, and leave wet sponge or cleaning rags on top of his towel.
Oh, that's mean.
But at Jess's house, they're a one-and-done house, so he wouldn't care because that towel's just going in the laundry, right, Jess? You guys don't use your towels more than once.
He does. Sometimes.
You don't.
Right.
So you, who would hang up your towel, you wash your towel after every time. Stefan, who will reuse his towel, throws it on the floor.
Yeah, most of the time.
You guys are in the upside down over there. And I'm not reading the last time.
You can't say it.
Come on. Oh, just.
You can't say it.
773.
Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on tune, and you heard the tone. It's 4 in the morning. Here's your Roger Bat. Matt Bravall here with you on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here at 4:06 a.m. Joining us on the phone right now is Dr. Marcia Sirota to talk about International Hugging Day that just passed a couple of weeks ago. How are you, Dr. Sirota?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Good. I will not give you a hug over the phone because we can't do that anyways, but also because you talk in this article that you wrote that's available on your website, MarciaSirotaMD.com, about maybe it's not a good idea to just be throwing out a hug to everybody you meet. Why is that?
Well, because not everybody feels the same way about hugs. Some people love them, some people not so much, but the biggest problem is a lot of people feel very uncomfortable being perceived as rude, so they'll accept a hug even when they don't want it, and so then we'll be hugging this person, and they'll be unhappy receiving the hug, and we won't even realize it. So in order to avoid those kinds of, you know, unpleasant misunderstandings, it's better to err on the side of caution and just avoid the hugs.
You know, it's really tough because, like, in business situations, and it's, you know, it's definitely a man and woman thing too, right? Because guys and women hug each other too, but it seems a little more like, I guess, complex when it's a man and woman situation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because sometimes it's a very innocent hug between a man and a woman, and sometimes people can use the hug as an opportunity to behave in a little bit of an inappropriate manner.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the last thing we want when we're trying to come across as serious and professional is someone to kind of hug us and grope us, and it can really throw us off our game. So,
yeah,
you know, it can even be a tactical measure. You know, you give someone a hug, you give them a squeeze, and then they, you know, their mind goes blank and they forget their presentation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So you're saying that, and you argue, or you state in your column that, you know, you should be okay. If you are uncomfortable with a hug, it's okay to say that. It's okay to let somebody know that you don't want the hug. And you say you don't have to explain it, just turn it down. And it's interesting because as I read that, I thought, you know what? It's tough for the person who is offering the hug because I know, you know, because it's always kind of a weird situation. Are we hugging? Are we not hugging? And you don't know. And then if you go to offer a hug and the person's like, you know, yeah, we're not doing that, then you're going to think, oh, is it, do they not like hugs? Is that a thing at me? Is there a thing that I misread here? Like, I could see then the person offering the hug now is walking around confused as well. So I guess the best solution you're saying is stop with the hugging. We don't all need to be hugging each other all the time.
Well, here's the thing. If the person on the receiving end is a people pleaser, you know, I've talked about people pleasing in the past. So if the person on the receiving end is a people pleaser, they're definitely going to not say no because they don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. So they will tolerate an unwanted hug in order not to appear rude. The person on the hugging end, on the giving end, you know, if they're a reasonable person, they're going to accept the other person saying, "It's a, you know, thanks, but I'm not a hugger." And if the person just says, "Thanks, I'm not a hugger," then the person on the giving end quickly understands, okay, it's not about me, they just aren't a hugger. But the person on the giving end could also be somebody who's not reasonable and who could kind of pressure the person, "What do you mean you're not a hugger? Come on here, come have a hug." And just, you know, people who don't take no for an answer are not respectful. So the hugger has to be a reasonable and respectful person and understand if the other person says, "I'm not into hugs," to, like, back off. And if they're not reasonable and not respectful, then it doesn't matter what they feel because they don't deserve our respect if they're not going to respect us in turn. And the person on the receiving end has to know that they don't have to be a pleaser. They are free to say, "This doesn't work for me," and trust that if the person is reasonable and respectful, they'll understand it. And if they have a bad reaction, well, that tells them more about the other person, not about themselves.
Well, and it's tough because for me, I think that so often hugging is in a business sense. You're meeting a client, you're meeting somebody who you work with a bit, but not all, you know, not in your office every day. And if that person, you know, has power over you, say it's your client and you need to keep them happy, if they want to hug, you feel like you got to hug. And if they're not hugging, then that's fine. But I could see where, you know, as a man or a woman, whatever that boss or client who, you know, you need to keep happy wants is what you're going to kind of put up with and do. And it's tough in that situation, certainly also to say, "Yeah, I'm not a hugger."
For sure. But then that's the way that in the workplace abuses of power happen, right? Sure. And people end up tolerating behavior that makes them feel violated and uncomfortable. So, you know, that's why the human resources department might want to put out a policy, our employees don't hug, right? So please don't hug our employees. So then everybody who does business with the people at your company knows we don't hug, and then the employees are safe. I know you're chuckling, but it's a way to keep the employees safe from, you know, any huggers who might have not such pure intentions.
That is, boy, Marcia, I think that's really tough to put in your place of business, you know, "Hey, our employees don't hug, please don't hug." Somebody coming in there would, I could see somebody you wanted to do business with being sort of put off by that. Like, what is that about? Like, why, you know, if I'm talking to you, so I'm learning more about, you know, all the reasons somebody might not want to hug, you're enlightening us on that. But if you hadn't had that exposure and you know, especially somebody from like an old boys network type job or whatever, and they walk into some place and, "Oh, our employees don't hug," you could see, just like you said, that somebody would be like, "What do you mean you don't hug? Of course you do," and they throw you a hug. Couldn't you see that type of person walking into that place of business and then having a sour feeling towards that company?
Yes, but if that person has a sour feeling, it reflects them because, you know, in the era of Me Too and No More and, you know, when people are speaking out so much about the kinds of abuses that do happen in the workplace, then, you know, I think there's a context today for people being more respectful of each other's boundaries and not just imposing physical contact, unwanted physical contact on another person. And especially in the workplace, these are not people that we're intimate with. These are not people that we want to be vulnerable with. And you know, sometimes these hugs are power moves, as I said before. So I think that if a company has a policy in place for sexual harassment, they can also have a policy in place for hugs. And that, just because it's a policy, just becomes the thing that everyone accepts. And look, a lot of these old boys aren't happy about me too, and they aren't happy about not being able to make remarks that are inappropriate. Right. But people have to learn. People have to grow and learn and evolve. And, you know, women are the number one most number one group that is most subject to discrimination. So if we have more of an equal playing field where everybody feels like they will be respected and that they will not be receiving unwanted attention or unwanted touch, then it just creates a more positive environment. And I think better workplace morale and better productivity. You know, if you go to work and you feel safe, if you know that you're not going to receive unwanted touching, you're going to be a happier employee and you're going to be a better employee and you're going to give your boss, your supervisors, 100% of your effort.
So would it be, because this really comes down to, for the most part, I would ask, Marcia, a man-woman situation, right? I mean, kind of, because you talk about the Me Too movement and things like that and people having power over others, and so that's where a lot of the issues come in. Would it be, because like Roger was saying, our newsman, we were talking about this before the news, that he never offers a hug. If somebody's coming at him with arms open, then I'll hug, but otherwise I'm never initiating a hug. Mm-hmm. Would that be something you would advocate, is men don't initiate the hug? If the woman you're working with wants a hug, she will show you that she wants a hug, and then you can accept the hug if you're comfortable with it. Of course, a man shouldn't have to accept a hug either. But is that a safe route? If everybody isn't in the, okay, nobody's hugging zone, if you're still in a new place, whatever, you're meeting people, as a man, as a general rule, don't go in for the hug. If the hug is coming at you, that's fine, but otherwise probably not be the one initiating it.
Well, I wrote the article really for everybody because I do a lot of therapy groups and they're all women, and a lot of my female patients have had, you know, traumas in their childhood. So even when a woman goes to hug them, they go, ooh, you know, I don't want to be touched by somebody that I'm not really close to. So I would say I don't think it's a man-woman thing, because I've really seen it with a lot of people, you know, two men, two women. If you've had any kind of boundary violations in your childhood or, you know, in your past, any kind of abuse or any kind of people touching you in ways that made you feel bad, or even as an adult, hugs might not be the most fun thing for you. And I think everyone's entitled to having their personal boundaries. Everyone's entitled to not have things happen to them that they don't want. So I would say it's not a man-woman thing. I would say it's a person thing, and that as a rule, you know, we should ask. Like, if we think, you know, we have the kind of relationship where a hug might, you know, go over well, we can say to the person, hey, can I give you a hug? And then they can say, that would be great. Or they can say, you know what, I'm not a real hugger. And then the person who's asking has to respect the no. And that's like with everything, right? When we ask somebody about something, we have to be okay about them saying no. You know, we have to be willing to hear the no and not, you know, be devastated by it, because, you know, people have to feel free to say no to things that they don't want. We have to be authentic with each other, because that's how we're going to have much better relationships and how everyone's going to get along better. If we're all free to ask for what we want and say no to what we don't want, we can have much more positive relationships with everyone, personally and professionally.
I mean, I certainly agree with you that nobody should ever have to accept a hug that they don't want. If it's, you know, like, nah, I really don't, then you should be able to say no to that. I think what we have to get used to is the idea of saying, can I give you a hug? Because it's just hard to do, because I don't know. I think same for the huggers, like that's an awkward exchange. Or, oh, can I give you a hug? I guess we have to get used to. And it's funny, I'm thinking of, you know, business relationships I have with women. And there's two women that I've hugged in the last 2 months that afterwards I was like, I should not have given them a hug. That was weird. And there's another woman that I work with who, the first time I met her in the last year, like right away she said, I'm a hugger. And she was throwing hugs. And that's just very interesting, because as a guy, you are in kind of a weird position on that. If a woman says, I'm a hugger, then you're like, cool, throw a hug. If I didn't want that, I don't know what I would have said at the time. Because if a client I'm meeting who I want to do business with says, I'm a hugger, it's going to be weird for me to go, I'm not, because now she's going to have this weird impression of
fraught.
Me. Yeah.
It's fraught. We don't want to hurt each other's feelings, but let's say you were a little boy and you were, you know, beaten really badly, you know, as a kid in school. You know, people were always punching you out as a little kid in school. And to you, you know, like, And maybe they were, like, giving you bear hugs where they were cutting off your breath. You know how kids bully each other. So for you, hugging might be a traumatic experience. And you know, maybe you don't want to have to get into, okay, this is why I don't like to hug. But people need to understand, I think, with touch, especially in 2019, people need to understand that not everyone's going to have the same feelings about touching and hugging as they do. And we have to be respectful of each other, and we have to acknowledge each other as individuals with their with each person's own needs and feelings, and not take it personally, not get offended if she says, I'm a hugger, and you say, well, I'm not so much. And if you say it like with a little bit of a joke and a smile, and you know, the person, and you can say, nothing personal, you know, and then the person has to just, you know, get over themselves and not like get offended, because it's not about them, right? If you don't like hugs, it doesn't mean you don't like them. And you can say, you know, I don't like hugs, but it has nothing to do with you, right?
It's like, so tough, though, Marcia. Don't you think? Like, tough. I mean, yeah, I can say that, but is she really, or whoever you're telling, oh, I'm just not into hugs, you don't want to offend that person, if, especially if it's a relationship, a business relationship or whatever. Of course, we shouldn't ever feel bad about not wanting the hug, but I think it's really tough to say, oh, it's not about you. I'm not a hugger. They're going to take that little personally, or at least that would be the worry, right?
And that's why I think we should have it institutionalized. That's why I have a no-hug policy in my group therapy sessions, and that's why I think companies should have a no-hug policy. In that way, then we don't have to have those awkward, uncomfortable conversations, because everybody knows there's no hugging, and then nobody has to feel like they might offend the other person. And a person who's a hugger can hug their friends, they can hug their family, they can hug their kids, and they don't have to, you know, get into it with people who are colleagues who may or may not want the hugs. Because when you're in a position where it's awkward to say no, that's when bad things happen, right? And that's why so many people have been sexually harassed in the workplace, or, you know, abused in the workplace, because they don't feel empowered to say no. They either they don't want to hurt someone's feelings, like a client, or they're afraid to say no to a boss or a supervisor. So if we have these policies in place, there's no hugging, then nobody has to be afraid to say no, because it's a policy.
All right, so I understand that, but I can't believe I'm going to make this argument against this, because I do worry that, like, so, oh, you know, this has all happened, so we just institute a no policy, no hugging at all. I mean, don't we need to instead instill in people, hey, you can say no to this? Because instead we're just stripping away all of our humanity. We can't be close to each other, we can't hug, we can't do this. I mean, it's a slippery slope to Mike Pence's I can't eat alone with a woman, because, you know, because that's really what we're eventually, I feel like it gets to, is men can't be alone with women. We have this policy, we don't do this, because then nobody's in a position of power, nobody's in anything. And it, you know, the argument against the Mike Pence thing is he's saying that if he's alone with a woman, you can't, you know, he can't control himself, we can't be mature enough not to abuse each other. And that's more what we need to get to, is just the learning of, hey, people have been taken advantage of for a long time and not been able to speak up, and times are changing. We need to all learn to be around each other and be accepting, and hey, if I want to give a hug, it's okay that you say no, and that's cool. And I'd rather get to that place than just institute these rules of no this, no that, because then nobody's really learning anything, and I don't know if we're any better for it.
Well, I agree with you. Ideally, it would be wonderful if we could all feel safe and comfortable saying, you know, that's not for me. But as you said, you know, if you have a client and you don't want to offend the client, or if you have a boss and you don't want to, you know, insult your boss, it might be very awkward. So I'm all for people learning, and I'm all for people being able to be empowered to speak their truth, to be authentic, and to feel, you know, entitled to having good boundaries. But if we're in a workplace situation, for example, and it's impossible to do it, then that's when we have a human resource department that makes policies, just like we have policies around sexual harassment. So, you know, whatever way it works, if we're going to learn and grow, I'm all for that, of course. But in the meantime, you know, maybe a little policy wouldn't hurt while we're learning and growing, because people do take a little while to evolve, as you know. Yeah. It takes a little while for people's consciousness to be raised. And in the meantime, we can have that. And I think it is a stretch to get to that place around, you know, people who think that they can't be in the same room as a woman because they're not going to be able to control themselves. Because, you know, we're grown-ups. We can control our impulses. If we have to go to the bathroom, we don't need a diaper when we're a grown-up. You know, no one goes to their wedding wearing diapers, right? Like, we are able to control our impulses as adults. We're not, you know, maniacs who are out of control. So I think that people who say, I can't eat alone in a room with a woman because I can't control myself, That's not true, because we can control a lot of impulses. You know, we get angry on the road. We don't go and shoot the person who's, you know, driving on the road with us. We can control a lot of our impulses. We can control our anger, our hunger, our body functions. You know, I don't think that it's going to go there, because I think that's a very extreme point of view that very few people in our society actually adhere to these days.
I would agree that is a very extreme point of view, but I would also say that instituting a no hugging policy, because some people don't like hugging, is also, you know, a large step to take to ban hugging altogether, because, you know, some of the people in a company have a bad reaction to hugging and don't want to have to hug. I think it's sort of, you know, it's a long way away, but I do think it's along the same vein a little bit. Now, what about, let me ask you, so you said if you're uncomfortable receiving a hug, you shouldn't have to accept it, and of course you shouldn't, but I imagine the people that are uncomfortable accepting a hug are also, in general, going to be uncomfortable trying to tell somebody, I really don't want that hug, because there's sort of this, you know, that's an awkward situation in and of itself. And you can understand where somebody's tolerating a hug they don't want because they don't want the awkwardness of trying to say, I don't want the hug. You say, it's okay to just say, hey, I'm not into hugging. Sorry, it's nothing against you. And I could see, though, where people would be like, that's an awkward conversation I don't want to get into. Are there other tactics you could take, or would you say, no, that's bad for you if you're avoiding letting them know you don't want to be hugged by just sort of avoiding the hug? Because, like, I'm thinking that you could say, oh, I've got a cold, I'm sorry. You could always say that. Or when somebody's coming in for a hug and you see that it's coming and you don't want it, you get out that hand for that handshake, and you kind of, because if I'm going in for a hug and somebody throws out a hand for a handshake, that's a big, oh, crap. Okay, I guess we're just handshaking. I think you catch that one as a signal. And I wonder if that's ways for them to handle it too, or would you say, no, that's bad for your own psyche. You should let them know and feel okay to say, hey, I'm just not into hugging. I'm sorry. Or not, I guess you shouldn't have to say you're sorry, but just, you know, what do you think about that? If you're really trying to avoid that awkwardness, is it okay to sort of just steer them away from the hug? Or do you feel like, no, for your own good, you should be letting them know you don't want that hug?
I think it is awkward, and I think, you know, as I mentioned before, if you're a people pleaser, you're going to have a hard time saying anything that might offend the other person, because people pleasers really want other people's approval. So you know, I talk a lot about people pleasing. I have, you know, a book on it. I have a course on it. So, you know, in my people pleasing work, I'm always saying to people, you know, you have to get comfortable with setting your limits and saying no, because reasonable people won't have a problem with you saying no. So always remember that if the person on the hugging end is reasonable and respectful, they're not going to take offense. They're going to, you know, maybe they'll feel a little uncomfortable themselves, but they'll get over it, because we're all grown-ups, right? The only people who are going to take offense are unreasonable people, or people who are, you know, want to impose their hug on us, right, without thinking about our feelings. So we need to understand, and that's in general in the world, you know, reasonable people won't have a bad reaction if we set a limit, if we say no, if we ask for what we want, because they're reasonable and, you know, if they're respectful. So if somebody has a bad reaction, it's probably because they're not a reasonable or respectful person. So that's the first thing we should know. And I always say that the best way to do it is just be brief, because you don't want a big, long explanation, and have a little sense of humor. So, you know, make light of it, make a little joke, because that always diffuses the tension. So, you know, like if that woman comes, I'm a hugger, you go, me not so much, you know, and then the other person has a little giggle, and then, you know, it's very clear, you, not so much, and then she doesn't have to feel like, oh, it's, you know, there's something wrong with me, right? And, you know, I always say making a little joke, having a little humor is a great diffuser of tension, and if you're brief and clear, then the other person understands, okay, this is not about me. This, you know, the person doesn't want a hug, and I have to respect that. And, you know, we have to respect each other more, and just because we like something, we can't assume that the other person likes it. You know, I like vanilla ice cream, you might like chocolate ice cream. You know, I don't think you're a bad person for that. So we have to be more tolerant of each other's differences and understand that, you know, not everybody likes that kind of physical contact. Like I said, a lot of people have had childhood experiences where today hugging is not what they're, you know, into.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Cindy has a question for you, Dr. Sirota. Cindy, you're on with Dr. Marcia Sirota.
Hi, Doc. You're talking so much about touching and things like that. Lately, high-fiving seems to be the thing. People walking through crowds, touching all these hands. And God knows what those hands had touched last. They might have been scratching their butt or picking their nose or whatever. And all these hands touching, that grosses me out. I'll take a hug from a nice person, but this high-fiving really gets to me.
Okay.
I think you should be entitled to, you know, keep your hand down if people are high-fiving. You don't have to high-five people. Again, we shouldn't have to do anything that we're not comfortable with on a physical or emotional level.
Boy, that's also a tough one. You throw up that high-five, the person doesn't return it. You really feel like a fool.
Oh, I would just give them the thumbs up.
You're throwing up the high-five. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, yeah. With a big smile, right? Oh. With a big smile. And, make a little joke, right? Here you go, thumbs up.
Well, what is the joke? How do you say? Because I can see I'm not into hugging. How do you say I'm not into high-fiving?
You don't have to say that. You just put the thumbs up and they get it.
And just keep on walking.
Yep.
Dr. Marcia Sirota, you can read her at her website, MarciaSirotaMD.com. On International Hugging Day, Let's Say No to Hugs was the title of the article. It's fun talking to you again. Thanks so much for being on with us.
It's a pleasure, Matt.
All right, we'll do it again. Thank you so much. 312-981-7200. News is next on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. 4:39 in the morning, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Let's take one last quick call about hugging. Tom is on 720 WGN. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. I just, first off, I've been a longtime listener all the way back to Wally Phillips when I won a space pen that he was giving away.
Okay.
And I was a little boy, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Just listening to the woman that you just hit on, thinking about, I'm pushing 60, thinking about how things used to be and how the people... in general, it's a human thing. I understand people pushing boundaries and what have you. We're all caught up in everything that is. It's bothersome in a sense because people make such a big deal about it, and I think that's why. It's become such a problem. Am I right or wrong?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, we are getting pretty uptight about things. And I think instituting a complete no-hugging policy seems like overkill.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I understand there are people that don't want to be hugged. I think that, we should... It's so tough because, if somebody was abused, you would hate to think that that person is... And it is just... a trauma to them every time somebody hugs them, and they really don't want that, then I would feel bad for them because it is an awkward situation to tell somebody, I don't like being hugged.
Exactly right.
But to ban hugging everywhere seems tough.
Well, I was just sitting here with my friend, and we were listening, and we both said, this would be awkward. Just as the woman that you had on said that it would be an awkward situation. And, 20 years ago, this wasn't even an issue.
Well, but here's what I'd say Dr. Sirota would argue. 20 years ago, it wasn't an issue because we weren't aware of the abuses around us as much. I mean, think about the Me
Correct.
Too,
well,
Me
I
Too
didn't
movement
understand
and
that.
How many women have come forward and said, yes, we don't report these things because it gets laughed off or whatever, or we're in a position of the other person having power over us. So it's good that all of that is coming out, and it's good that we're being more aware, and hopefully that we're changing our ways and being a more... equal society and not taking advantage of people where we can. But that means there's going to be, I guess, some awkward learning curves for all of us. And, you shouldn't have to accept a hug if you don't want one. And it is an awkward situation to try to say no to a hug.
Especially in a workplace.
Yeah.
Especially in a workplace.
Yes, especially in a
workplace. Because I was just talking with my friend and she said, I just got a hug from this guy and I haven't seen him for a long time. And, you know, he's so nice. And it's all in how you take it. And, you know, this wasn't thought about 10 years ago or, you know, 20 years ago. And I understand, you know, there's been people that have been abused and what have you. But I don't know. It's an awkward situation. Let's put it that way.
I would agree with it. Thanks so much for calling in, Tom. We really appreciate it. You have a wonderful weekend. Couple of texts about it. 708. My God, all this is involved with a hug? Squirrel's hug. I'm going near no one ever again. And that's your prerogative. 847 says it's called hand sanitizer. Keep it handy. That's for the woman who didn't want the high fives, I'm guessing. And somebody said Roger was talking about kids and children and students, but no, I had asked Roger, even in the newsroom, you said no matter what, Roger, in general, your rule is if the hug is coming, I accept. If it's not coming, I don't initiate.
From an adult.
Right. Right.
Not from students.
Hug them at all.
No. I mean, as a teacher, you do not hug students. I see it all the time. I see teachers hugging students. It happens in grade schools. It's the student coming to the teacher for a hug, and you can see the teachers who are uncomfortable with it. They don't hug back.
Yeah.
And as a teacher, I never hugged, touched anything on a student. Not even to come over and like a student's having a tough day, whatever, and you come over and you want to, you know, put your hand on their shoulder to calm them down or whatever. Nothing. You don't touch a student.
Right.
Even though, by law, the teacher is treated as the parent in the classroom.
Yeah.
By law, as the absence of an actual parent, the teacher who is responsible for those children's safety, the teacher is considered the parent in the classroom.
At the Catholic schools, teachers can still hug, which is nice. It's nice, you know, and although we've had a lot of our issues, right? But mm-hmm. But it is nice to me that the teachers can feel close to the kids and do that.
And I'm not saying that the teachers don't feel
sure,
close to the kids
sure,
or the kids don't
just
feel close to the teachers. It's just, you just don't do that.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate. It can cause a lot of problems for both the student and or the teacher. And it is actually frowned upon by administrators. So it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have. And trust me, I've had students who consider me their father, literally.
Yeah.
And stay after school, want to talk to you about their life and how horrible it is and where they feel lost in school. And they're coming to you because they see you as their protector, as the person they can trust implicitly. And a lot of times that could lead to a hug. And it's just that physical contact you just don't do in a school setting, no matter whether you want to or not, or whether you think it's needed or not. And like I said, I mean, that's the bottom line. But I still see and knew of teachers who do give hugs and allow their students to hug them.
Yeah.
There's never anything inappropriate.
It's just a position you don't want to put yourself
exactly
in of having any issues.
Yeah.
And I understand that. It's a brave new world, people.
Yeah.
All right, so I told you I wanted to talk about a house that had something special in it.
Yeah, and I think I was just flipping through my Twitter account, and I think I just saw it. Go ahead.
Okay, so somebody tweeted about it, right?
Yeah.
So I saw this earlier today, and I sent it to Jess. I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this tonight. This is pretty wild. And I had read the listing. The listing has changed since today. Because I've got it open right now, and now it's not mentioning what special is in this house. So let me read this and see if the line is in there.
And let me try to find it again.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I'll have you read what the person tweeted after I read this. So this is a home that's available in Maple Glen, Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful house. 5 beds, 2.5 baths, I don't know if this would be what you'd call a brick colonial, but that's what I would describe it as. Priced at $750,000.
Like mm-hmm.
It says, one-of-a-kind suburban home. Private, quiet lane of three homes leads you to a secluded four-bedroom upstairs plus one-bedroom in basement. Mm-hmm. Two-and-a-half-bath colonial home located just 15 miles outside Philadelphia in the suburb of Maple Glen. Property includes three fireplaces, indoor-outdoor speaker system, two new heaters and water heater from 2014, two new sump pumps, gorgeous gourmet kitchen with newer 2013 stainless steel appliances, tumbled marble backsplash, large granite island, granite countertops, hardwood floors throughout both floors, breakfast room with vaulted ceilings, walks out to a large deck and private wooded yard with custom gazebo, dining room with custom wainscoting, living room, billiard room includes pool table, family room with brick fireplace and beautiful wall of windows, first floor study, second level includes a large master bedroom suite with gas fireplace, master bathroom with double doors, marble floors, dual vanity, stall shower, soaking tub. There's a step-down office with window seats with storage and two walk-in closets. Three additional large spacious bedrooms and an additional bathroom complete the second floor. Third level offers a huge walk-up attic, full-finished walk-out basement with Bilco doors, includes a gym or fifth bedroom. It can be converted back to a typical suburban basement. Convenient to Pennsylvania Turnpike 309, 63-152, trains to Center City, Philadelphia, restaurant shops, minutes from downtown Ambler, award-winning Upper Dublin School District, houses being sold furnished.
And since it went up on Redfin on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
it's been viewed over 500,000 times by noon on Friday.
Now, from that description,
yeah.
that wouldn't get 500,000 views. When I read this earlier today, there was one more line in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it said something about sexual oasis.
Yeah. You want me to read it?
Do you have the original?
Yes,
listing?
I do. Here.
Okay. Yeah. Add in the line
and,
I missed.
And again, this is from ABC7, and they are using quotes here. It says, the basement description included in the online reading or online listing reads, quote, full finished walkout basement with Bilco doors, includes a gym or fifth bedroom, and also is a private adult sexual oasis. It can be converted back to a typical suburban basement.
So
end quote.
Funny? They took that out now. That was in earlier today when I first found this.
And the photos of the adult playroom have been taken down.
Oh, so there were, because I just looked through the 39 photos they have up, and I didn't see anything. So
yeah,
they did
those
have
been taken down.
There.
Here's something else. The home is also currently being offered as an Airbnb rental.
Well, it's a popular house now, and yeah. I bet the neighbors, the only three houses on that block, those two neighbors are not real happy about this.
Yeah, you know what? ABC7, their headline is 50 Shades of Maple Glen.
Maple Glen, yeah.
Real estate listing includes spicy adult den.
Well, that'll get them talking, if not buying. Location, location, location. We're going to say hi to Orion Samuelson in a little bit here on 720 WGN. Mama, I'm coming home. For a few more minutes here on 720 WGN, we'll say hi to Orion Samuelson, but let's take a couple last quick calls on the issue of hugging. Jeffrey, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, I wanted to say something because I think this is very important. I did Santa's for 17 years, and I'll tell you something. I always hugged the kids. You know, I didn't care who they were. I hugged everybody. And the tragedy is that a lot of these children were hug-starved. It was like nobody was hugging these kids. And when they hugged me, a lot of them practically strangled me to death, you know. They wanted to be hugged and just cared about, you know, nobody did gives a damn. So, you know, and I've had a few teachers would tell me, you know, hey, you know, you're going to get in trouble. And I said, you know something? I said, I don't give a damn. I mean, if Santa can't hug you, who can?
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeffrey. If Santa can't hug, and I think there's an expectation of Santa. I mean, for goodness sakes, if the kids are sitting on your lap, you can probably throw them a hug. I imagine you're pretty safe with that one. So thank you very much, Jeffrey. Let me get John in real quick. Hey, John, how are you this morning? John, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
All right, how are you?
We're good. What did you want to say about hugging students?
As far as hugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, going into a hug situation, it's eye contact first, then arm position, you know, up or down or middle or, you know, it's just, It's all etiquette.
You're saying you got to read the room and see what you're getting into and understand where that other person is?
No, I'm not reading the room. I'm reading a person for a specific hug.
Right.
You know, reading the room is just, that's a newer situation.
Well, I meant in general, you know, with this person, you're reading where they're at and are they coming in for a hug? Where is their arm position, their eye contact?
Or me for them, you know, as far as a funeral or, you know, but, you know, how you doing? You know, going in for a hug. But either way, as far as a child, no, never. As far as a teacher or a security guard or at a library or anything, you know, anybody that's an adult that looks like they're in charge,
mm-hmm.
you pat them on the back or do it, you know.
Or just not touch them at all, right? I mean, I imagine security guards don't get enough hugs, but anybody that's an adult that you're not close to, that you don't know personally, that you're not aware of the hugging situation, if we're unaware, we just don't hug. As Roger said, unless they're coming in, I'm not giving a hug. Fair, Rog?
Yeah, I'd okay. say so.
All right, well.
Yeah, and again, it depends on how well you know the person, too. I mean, there's a whole lot of factors, actually, you know. If you've known the person, I've known people 20, 25 years, we've never hugged. There's never been a reason to hug. There's never been a desire to hug. There's never been a situation where a hug would be warranted.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know?
I hear you. Let's say hello to a man who...
Everybody wants to hug.
Everybody wants to hug. Probably can't get away from the hugs fast enough. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
And good morning to you, and I'll tell you this right up front. If you run into Gloria, my wife, for the first time, it's a hug. She hugs people. She just doesn't feel a handshake is enough.
And that's okay by me. That's okay. And now, does she ever encounter a person who's like, I'm not into hugging? I imagine Gloria doesn't get that. I imagine people melt when Gloria throws out a hug.
Very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I've never gotten a hug from Gloria. I hope to someday, Warren.
Okay, well, I'll warn you now, if you meet her, she'll hug you.
She'll lock on.
Yes.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad to hear that. Now, where are we at, Orion? Are we in WGN Huntley or WGN Way Out West?
Well, we're in WGN Huntley until about 9 o'clock this morning. Then we're driving to the Quad Cities for the National Outstanding Young Farmer Awards Program. I'll be emceeing that event tonight. Nice. Weather isn't going to allow us to fly Air Orion, which is a disappointment. It's going to be okay today, but tomorrow coming back would probably be a challenge in the Cessna because of the snow that's coming in. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't blame you for not wanting to do that.
Well, my pilots have just one rule. There's no place I absolutely have to be, and if they don't want to go, I don't want to go.
Is it always up to the pilots, or do you ever say, you know what, I know you guys say it's okay, but I'd rather not do that this time?
Yeah, I've done that. And, yeah, it's a mutual thing because they'll say, like yesterday, Phil, my pilot, said, we'll have no trouble getting there Saturday, but we might have a lot of trouble getting back Sunday. And so I think we'll just cancel the flying trip and you'll have to drive. And that's what we did. Because this time of the year, ice will put down an airplane faster than running out of fuel, really. You don't want to get into an icing situation.
I can't imagine you do it. Now, are you headed back to Arizona at all anytime soon, or are you here for
probably a month from now. We'll head back. We'll get tired. Well, we're tired of the cold weather already. When we said we were coming back a couple of weeks ago, our friends in Arizona said, are you crazy? Yeah. And our friends in Illinois said, are you crazy? But we were here for history.